cover fully the
question of the karbanot, but at least to raise some of the questions, go through some of the shakamatarias, see where the issues are, and a possible approach. I'm sure I'm not going to get to the Rambam part or all the Bali Tosis, but we'll, as I say, we'll try to get through what we can, and you know, we'll put it on the list.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we've touched on the topic, and you know, have a little better insight into some of the questions, you know, to raise. Okay, so again, first one comment on last time. Well, we have a lot to get through. We don't have so much time. Okay. So again, we've been putting this these you know five shiurim or so, and framework of the role of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur, which I think is really a crucial idea in Yom Kippur generally and for the Kohen Gadol generally. And what I'm particularly trying to project is the idea, and we'll just reinforce it a little more today, that there is a kind of reciprocal relationship here which is significant on both sides. It didn't have to be that way. You could say that there's no relationship, or you could say that it's a one-sided relationship, as I'll explain. But I think the compelling cumulative evidence is not only in this topic, but in other topics too, is that really that you know Yom Kippur is a day, is the day in which the Kohen Gadol, you know, kind of shines. It's the day for which he is, you know, appointed. In other words, the Kohen Gadol is defined by his performance on Yom Kippur. but equally, Yom Kippur is something that is defined by the participation of an individual member of Klal Yisrael, right, who embodies, I guess, you know, the values that that day needs to accentuate. So in that sense, you know, as I say, there's, I believe, a mutual relationship. There are some dinim that reflect one side and the other. And again, I think there are particular shitos that allow us to, you know, analyze, you know, whether the emphasis is an equal one or whether there aren't even positions, you know, that consider it to be a one-sided one. But on the whole, I think that it's more likely that this is a mutually reciprocal and enhancing relationship. And that's really what we've been trying to establish. That's what I meant, you know, right off the bat when I was, you know, pointing out that there, something which I've seen others point out, although they I think explain it differently, and that is why there is no separate minyan, so no separate mitzvah of minui kohen gadol. I think it's as connected to the role that he plays, the defining role that he plays on Yom Kippur. And again, why his participation, you know, all year round is mostly limited to the Minchas Chavitin. And of course, you know, his desire to participate. At the same time, he's supposed to live, according to the Rambam, and there's no makor for this, but he's supposed to live in Yerushalayim. I've talked, I think, about that in the past. I think that's a very, very fascinating conclusion that the Rambam reaches. I think it's also connected to the Rambam's view that that the Mikdash and Yerushalayim have a single, overlapping Kedusha. This is a famous view of the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos and Sukkah and in Rosh Hashanah. We talk about, you know, the Lulav being Nital the Mikdash and the special din of Shofar be Mikdash. So, the Rambam's view is that the Mikdash includes Yerushalayim, and of course the Rambam's famous view in Hilchos Beis HaBechira about, you know, Kedushas Yerushalayim and Mikdash being Kitzel L'Shaita V'Kitzel L'Yasid Lavo, because they're essentially Kedushas HaShechina. So there's a lot of evidence, and I think that the fact that the Rambam, everybody wonders where he gets it from, holds that the Kohen Gadol lives has to live in Yerushalayim. You know, it's his way of saying it's part of, again, the expanded view, which I think you find in other Rambams, of, again, Min HaMikdash L'Yetzeh. But that, isn't particularly he's not particularly burdened, you know, by specific tasks. It's very much up to the Kohen Gadol. He's no Tavo Rosh, and he can you know, involve himself a lot, and he can involve himself, you know, very little. But the point is that his day is a day of Kohen, is a day of Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur is also the day of the Kohen Gadol, both. And therefore, the rest of the year, you know, is about that overlap. But I think it's also about more than that, and that's one of the things I want to emphasize as well. Again, a topic that I think is very rich. And that's, again, this idea of Achas Pashana. We've spoken, you know, all the people in this room, you know, all four of you, you know, but even the four of you, you know, in the past couple of years, I've had the opportunity to, before Yom Kippur, to speak about this theme. And that is the idea of Yom Kippur being, you know, the most unusual day of the year, the most singular day of the year, and the linchpin day of the year in a way, but also at the same time, you know, that is because of and therefore necessarily expresses itself, you know, in the rest of the year as well. It's Achas and it's Lashana. Achas Lashana. So just as, you know, the relationship between the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur is a very intricate one, and a, you know, a mutual one and a reciprocal one, so too is the relationship between Yom Kippur and Kol HaShana, and even in part the relationship of the Kohen Gadol to Kol HaShana. So again, the fact that he's not overburdened or overtasked, and at the same time that he has the ability, if he prefers, to get involved as much as possible, and that every day, you know, he lives in the Mikdash, and every day brings him in Minchas Chavitin. Right, these are all, I think, expressions, as are a few other things that we'll talk about in just a minute, of the fact that, you know, he lives for Yom Kippur, but if he only lived for Yom Kippur, does he all year round? He's Omeid Lios, the Kohen Gadol, be Yom Kippur. But it's also true that that couldn't be, or that would create a kind of improper, you know, kind of inconsistent, I guess, emphasis. It would make Yom Kippur too much of a bubble and too, I guess, irrelevant, you know, to the rest of the year. Unless, you know, he did have some role all year round, and it turns out he has a very, you know, consistent one with the Minchas Chavitin, which is almost like a personal tamid, and in some respects it belongs to Klal Yisrael too, one of the things that we'll talk about. And unless, you know, unless there were, you know, not expressions of the way that he lives his life, you know, and then the other aspects of his avoda and where he geographically lives, the things that we're talking about, if there weren't, you know, minimal and maybe the flexible choice that he has, you know, to make it even more maximal, I think that is an amazing idea too, then the Yom Kippur part just wouldn't work, I think. So that, again, that's really one of the things that I've been trying to portray. So we started off with the idea of, you know, Kisa Lefnai V'Lefnim, the role that that plays in general, the role that Aaron and the Kohen Gadol play on Yom Kippur. Aaron plays generally, and Kohen Gadol particularly. That's one very important topic. Then we move from there to talk about just how expansive his role is on Yom Kippur itself. And that's, again, there's more to talk about, but we definitely talked about some of it, according to various Rishonim. And now we find ourselves, the next two topics that I want to discuss is the question of his marital status, Kol HaShana and on Yom Kippur. I'll try to do that quickly. And then, with whatever little time we have left, which you're not going to be able to do fully because it's a massive topic, to talk about the phenomenon of, you know, his two korbanos on Yom Kippur, and particularly, again, in light of all of this. I'm trying to put this all in a single framework. Namely, are these korbanos yachid? Are they korbanos, you know, kohanim? Are they korbanos tzibur? Or are they kind of a little bit of all of these? And the reason being, because there's a certain dialectic going on here, namely, the Kohen Gadol is an individual, and as an individual, he embodies certain ideals, and therefore he has to be an individual for whom, you know, there are certain standards that apply to no one else. And at the same time, that would be ridiculous, you know, because of the purpose of Yom Kippur or the Avodah is not for this individual, no matter who he is. It's for the embodiment of a personality, of a persona of Kol Hashem, you know, who's also the shliach of Kol Yisrael. So I think what ends up happening, I'm just giving away all the secrets, is that on the one hand, you know, his individual kedusha is part of it, but the minui, you know, meaning the function that he serves, you know, both in terms of the Keser Kahuna and in terms of Klal Yisrael, and also the Keser Kahuna's function in terms of Klal Yisrael, is such that the lines between Tzibur, right, Shevet, or Shutfus, and Yachid are very blurred, and they're confusing. And they have to be confusing. Because I say there's a Kedusha aspect, there's a personal aspect, and there is a, you know, functional, you know, representational aspect. So the Torah's Kohen Gadol, right, he is Shayach to Klal Yisrael. Therefore, there have to be some expressions of him as an individual, in terms of buying the animals, for example, being the individual bailam of them. But on the other hand, it's just an incredible phenomenon how seemingly individual karbanos, right, or maybe even the karbanos of a smaller group, are incredibly integrated into the avoda, right? I'll read some of the psukim in a couple of minutes. I'm just telling you what we want to accomplish today. If you read the psukim in Achrimos, and especially you follow through with the dinim, right? It's back and forth. It's back and forth between, you know, the seirim and the par, the integration of the par with the, you know, seira nasa bifnim. And in terms of viduyim, with this Sierra Mishtaleach, and the Isle, and the, you know, Elo Shel Aaron, and the Isle Ha'am, in terms of Olos, you know, and the Big Day Zahav. Of course, the mixing of the Dam, which is an amazing thing, you know, between the Sierra Nasa Bifnim and the Par, you know, how could that be if one's a Karban Yachid and the other's a Karban Zibor, just whatever they. But again, I think, you know, that if we take a step back and we look at some of these phenomena, which are unparalleled, that what they point to is this consistent idea of, you know, Yom Kippur, you know, and Kohen Gadol's mutual and reciprocal relationship, and this, you know, overlapping multiple status of the Kohen Gadol, you know, both as an individual, but not really as an individual, right? As an individual, as the head of the Shevet, you know, and as belonging to and embodying, you know, it's the vicarious, you know, kind of you know, Vodas Yom Kippur is a very vicarious, you know, I wouldn't say vicarious atonement exactly, but certainly the details of it are you know, are the Kohen Gadol is, most of Klal Yisrael are spectators, you know, but it's also they're the bailam on some of the karbanos, and even the ones that are not the bailam over in a way they're the bailam of, but they're not doing it. Again, it's a one-man, almost a one-man show, even relative to the other kohanim, as we've been discussing. So the idea that, you know, there is this, you know, completely rule-breaking role for seemingly individual or shutfis type karbanos, and, you know, not just that they're both in there, or you could have said, oh, and maybe some people do say, that, you know, that those are just matirim, like, you know, just like the Knesset for the Knesset Lefnai Belefnim. And, but basically, you know, he needs to get there, and then he does what he does on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So that would be another approach. But it would not explain some of these phenomena. Meaning why, you know, the yin and the yang, why we're going back and forth, you know, between these two, the Korban Tzibors and the Korbanos of the Kohen Gadol, it wouldn't explain the Iruv, you know, Hadamim, and some of the other things. So the implication you get is it's not just that to be makshir him, you know, to do these things, or even to be the Kohen Gadol, you know, you need these karbanos, and then the real, you know, hakrava, and the real kapara, you know, it just isn't completely true. Again, there are different shittos, some of which allow, you know, for this perspective a little more than others. But in all circumstances, it's very hard to narrow or to limit the role of the par, in particular, the par chatas, asher lo, you know, and also elo, less so, as we'll see. So, you know, again, you know, we just read Parshas Korach, and part of that is, you know, kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim socham Hashem, lama tisnasu al ka'al Hashem, you know, then, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu answers twice, you know, referring to the word, using the word, you know, kedusha, right? Kol elu kulam kedoshim, and he said, you know, twice. We'll see who the kadosh is. We'll see who the kadosh is. But in the end of the day, I mean, what one of the things that Korach was doing, you know, was leveling different kinds of arguments at the same time. But one of them was this, you know, democratic argument. You know, why can't every member of Klal Yisrael do this? Everybody was there. And what in the end of the day, what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying is that that's not, you know, derech haTorah, derech haHalacha, that's not tzivui Hashem. Not just like, oh, our hands are tied and therefore this is what we have to. Of course, that alone is enough. But the bigger idea is what I call spiritual specialization. And that is that, you know, there is a Keser Torah, which is Munach Lakol. But the Keser Kahuna and the Keser Malchus, of course, they all belong to Klal Yisrael. But, you know, the Kiyumim, you know, who can be a Melech, who can be a Kohen Gadol, who can do the Avoda, you know, those are... The divine wisdom dictates that that's better accomplished by spiritual specialization, by there being certain classes in the Klal Yisrael that, you know, that accentuate that and that are, you know, trained for that at a young age and that know that that's their goal, and so on. Everybody can learn Dinei Kadshim, and everybody's connected. If you look at the Psukim in Emor and the various Parshios, and of course the topics of Shluch Didon and Shluch Rachmana, both for Kohen Gadol and for Kohen Hedya. You know, it's clear that, you know, this doesn't belong to an elite. It's not like Klal Yisrael exists so that it can be, you know, an even smaller elite, you know, and you know, it's all vicarious. You know, the vicarious part, I guess one would say, or the vicariousness, is itself, you know, the divine will and wisdom of the best way for Klal Yisrael, you know, to accomplish. Again, I always like to mention, you know, the Shalah, who says that no individual, again, not the Chiddush of the Shalah, just a good formulation, no individual can accomplish Tariq Mitzvahs. So it's all part of, you know, being one Sibur and having different tasks and different specialized tasks. And that breaks down to a lot of different things. So the Shvatim, to the, you know, different models of the Avos, you know, to the different genders, to different, you know, Ksarim, and so on. It just works better that way, you know, frankly. So the Kohen Gadol, you know, like the Melech, he belongs to all of Klal Yisrael, but he also has Kedushas HaGavra, right? So he's not just a representative. He's a representative because he has Kedushas HaGavra, and he has Kedushas HaGavra because he's a representative. So there are differences between the minui, the halachas of minui and the halacha of kedusha, but there's also a lot of overlap between them. And that, you know, is reflected in how he, you know, what happens when there are two kohen and gedolim, and, you know, how he's hired, and, you know, when he's fired, and how you fire him, and which dinim apply, all the things that we're not going to get a chance to discuss now. You know, when you have two kohen gadols, you know, what does that mean? Can you have two kohen gadols? And legabe what? Which dinim? So anyway, this is the bigger picture that I'm trying to, I guess, portray. So to do that, since we have very limited time, let's go back to the topics at hand. But this is the kind of the general idea behind this. So now let's get back into, again, very specific details. So just a comment before we begin, and that is, I'm not sure what I have here. Yeah. So, let's see if you find me what I need. Okay. First of all, somebody asked me, I think Yaakov the other day, not here, But I mentioned that Mchal Yom Kippur B'Shabbos, that the Lechem Aponim is Mischalekes. So that's, I think I mentioned them, but somebody asked me afterwards also. That's a Mishnah in Menachos on Tzadik Tesum and Beis. And then we discussed the Chelkas Yoav question about, you know, what it means to be Roy or Ein Roy. And we had that discussion. Secondly, just very quickly, regarding Shechita, we talked about the Ramban in Machamos and the discussion of Aleitosis and the view that, you know, maybe there's Shechita B'Kohen and Shechita B'Zar that we'll talk about next year in Mirtz Hashem and in Masachet Kulin. That's a big, you know, theme. But especially the possibility that either when it comes to the par, that there might be a special din of Bailus and the comparison that Tosis makes, you know, to Smicha, or that it might be a din in the Avoda, and whether in that you're Mechalek, in either of those you're Mechalek. Obviously, if it's Bailus, then that's only going to apply to the par. If it's a din in the Avoda, you could still be Mechalek between the par, which is the big day Lavan, and Nichnas Pifnim, as opposed to the Tamid. But either way, that's one of the things that we were discussing, was that even though Shechitah's Lav Avoda typically in Lav Ksheir Bazaar, etc., maybe on Yom Kippur it has a different stance. I just wanted to mention that the Netziv also in his Perish on Achremos, Perek Tazayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph, you know, notes that it sounds like the Shachat is a requirement of Aaron HaKohen. He too attributes it to Bailus, and even suggests that this is a din that applies in all Karbanos, that L'chadchila, there would always be a requirement or a mitzvah that the Bailim, even if he's a Yisrael, since Shechita is Ksheira Bazar, would be Shochet. So that, of course, is very different than the idea that this is a particular, even the view which you saw in the Balei Tosis, and that is that this is a din in the par, in particular. Because what you might say is, especially in light of what I'm, you know, what we're going to discuss in a few minutes, and which I already foreshadowed, which is that part of the story of the par and the ayil, and you also might be mechalik between them in terms of the emphasis. There's good reason the Ritva says this, and it's noveya from the Gemara a little bit, and he expands it, that maybe the par is more, you know, the korban tzibur, or more. And the ayil, after all, it is also mechaper on the kohanim, and it's nichnas tonight lefnim. It's the one that's misarev v'dam, and all the other stuff. Whereas the ayil, elo shel yar. It's interesting, also, by the way, I should just add linguistically, it hit me recently that, you know, typically the par is called par shel yom kippurim, and the ayil is almost always called elo shel aron. Anyway, but that, which is consistent with some of the halachos, but either way, the point I'm trying to make is that the idea of the bailus of the power in the ayil is itself not just like a technicality, or it's not just a detail, but, you know, according to what I'm suggesting, that becomes part of this whole kiyu, part of this whole complex of the relationship between the Gavra Kohen Gadol, right, and the day of Yom Kippur. So even though, again, you could say that, you know, that this is a special din, you know, in broader in Bailus, and that's kind of what the Netziv is saying. Or you could say that this is the din in, you know, the expanded role of the Kohen Gadol in the Avoda generally, so that should certainly include even the Shechita of his own, you know, par, and maybe his par and ayil, maybe. Right? I'll go again, the discussion is about the par in the Gemara Membeis, but and in the Psukim. But in the end of the day, what I'm suggesting is that even if this is a din in Bailus, you know, the din of Bailus of this par, and maybe the ayil, but especially the par, right, itself is a kiyum in the Avoda of Yom Kippur. It's part of this dialectic, you know, of this being, you know, the Kohen Gadol, you know, but the Kohen Gadol being, you know, the one who vicariously, you know, implements at least, you know, the process. Okay. Anyway, so I just wanted to make that ha'ara. That's not what the Netziv is saying. Netziv is going further even than, I think, than Bali Tosis. Okay. So now let's talk about the question of Kohen Gadol Nasui. So again, a couple of years ago, I think I gave a shiur on this topic on a Friday night. So I think you wrote it up. So we'll leave that for now. Now there's much more to talk about. But then I think I was trying to explain again what the nature of this halacha is. I am going to overlap on that a little bit, but there in particular I was trying to explain, is it Eirusin, is it Nisuin, is it, you know, when, the details of it. And particularly to emphasize the idea that the Kohen Gadol, again, is, in contrast to other religions, not somebody who's supposed to be, you know, Parush, Lagamri. Again, there's Prisha, Erev Yom Kippur, is very important. But he's not supposed to be a person who other people can't relate to or doesn't relate to real life. We don't believe in celibacy, you know, not even for the Kohen Gadol. Indeed, that might have been the chet of Bnei Aaron, of Nadav Avinu, and that's part of the Achrei Mos, maybe, you know, connection. There's a very strong view, you know, that they said basically, you know, they were like, you know, extreme, you know, pliers as an extreme application of, you know, this idea of, you know, Tarasi, you know, Umnasi, I guess. You know, they don't want to be, you know, physically, I guess, tied down, you know, with what is implied by a marital relationship. And Chazal, you know, see that as, you know, not just wrong, but as, you know, fundamentally wrong, as contravening, really, what is singular about Yahadus. Now, let's remember that Aaron HaKohen, who, you know, is the paradigm, certainly for all Kohanim Gadolim, and especially maybe play an additional role in Yom Kippur, as we've been discussing, is somebody who criticized Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, again, the criticism may have been wrong, right, because Moshe Rabbeinu was unique in that respect, Lochei Navni Moshe. But he and Miriam, you know, B'tmimus Salibam, for sure, you know, Hine Matovim Anoim Shemes Achem Gam Yachad, there was no kinna, apparently, between Aaron and Moshe. But he was critical of that element. And again, we know that Aaron HaKohen was just a very, he was an Oed Shalom and a Makara V'Sabrios. And Chazal have all these stories, you know, in particular about his role in Shalom Bayis. So something that he knew of, that he projected, you know, very to the very top of the agenda, if you will. So I think if that is part of the notion of this idea of Kohen Gadol Nasui, on the one hand, and that it should be, you know, one wife and not two, in the sense of, even though there's a heter for more than one wife, Midaraisa. But certainly this idea that there's a more lechatchila to focus on and develop this kind of what I call existential bond, you know, so that idea that is part of what defines the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur is, I think, a very crucial idea. The day of Kulal Hashem, but the Kulal Hashem might express itself in a very halachically singular kind of way. And again, it's part of the Achas Bashana idea, you know, as well. Right? Yom Kippur might be a day which even requires a week that you guarantee Tahara, you know, and a pre-show a week before, as we've discussed. But in the end of the day, it's for that reason even more important that it be clear that that the Kohen Gadol will be somebody who's Nasui, and Nasui, to one wife. So what the parameters of that are in terms of the details, I discussed then, and again, I'm going to overlap a little now, but that's just like, you know, the background. So the question really is, what is this idea of Kohen Gadol Nasui? What is the relationship, just to raise the questions, between, you know, his being married and not being married to more than one woman? Are these two din or one din? Sounds like, in the sugyas here in Yuma at least, that they come from one source. V'chiper bado ba'ad beiso, right, it has to be a beiso, but not shy. In theory, you could say these are two dinim, and they might even have two different effects or impact, even in terms of being ma'akev in terms of Kol HaShana. But from Makaros, it would seem, and certainly from the Rambam, it would seem, that, you know, although, again, it's interesting, the Rambam, I'll explain in a minute, the Rambam kind of treats them differently, separately, but the implication, when you put it all together, probably is that they're two sides of the same coin. I don't think it has to be that way. In the Acharonim, they're not at all certain about that. Even just the Gevurah Sari, which is an amazing sefer, he seems to go back and forth on this a lot, and other Acharonim as well. I'll mention some of the discussions. So what exactly is the relationship between these two elements? That's question number one. Question number two, are these dinim limited to Yom Kippur, or do they apply to Kol Shana? And if so, in what is the relationship between, you know, those two? Are they two? Are they basically one or two dinim? Again, if you're mechalek, if you think that they're, you know, one din, so there are three possibilities. That is that, you know, it's driven by Kol HaShana, maybe that's the real mechayev, with maybe greater consequences than Yom Kippur, I'll explain in a minute. It's driven by Yom Kippur, completely. Or, what I prefer, and that is that, this is a kind of one of those expressions of Achas Bashana, that I certainly did develop in that year at that time, and that is that, you just can't consistently, you know, have a Yom Kippur requirement, you know, that you ignore the rest of the year. Or another way to say the same thing is, you know, when you have a certain standard, right, so then, you know, it can express itself in a more acute form on Yom Kippur, and in terms of, you know, being ma'akeh, the avoda, you know, in terms of what the makar is, etc. But that's not the same as saying that it comes from one and applies therefore to the other. It's more, both of these things are true. And again, that's what I am partial to in a lot of these issues, in terms of, the reciprocity between Achas and Shana and the role of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur. It's what he's bringing to Yom Kippur and what Yom Kippur is bringing or doing for him. So that's the second question, which we'll discuss in just a second, more just in terms of the details. The third question is whether or not it's ma'akev or not, or it's only a lechatchila. Even if it's only a lechatchila and it's not ma'akev, it's possible that it's a kiyum, or the lack of it is a pagam. And for example, when you have a choice, you know, which again, this is an issue that's particularly discussed by the Achronim, beginning with the Gevurah Sari, probably. That is, let's say you have to choose between, you know, replacing the Kohen Gadol, who did it, and therefore going without Prisha of Zayin Yamim, or keeping the Kohen Gadol with the Prisha, but dropping, right, the Beso. And again, are we mechalek between that? So that would be, even if it's not ma'akev, right, would reflect, you know, the degree to which, how much of a kisaron is there? Is it just, you know, it's a chiyuv, or does it actually affect the quality or the avoda itself? And again, is there any difference between nasui and beis nashim, you know, when it comes to that question? So that's the next issue to consider. And then the third question, or the fourth question, I think, I'm not sure what I'm up to, it doesn't really make a difference. The next question to consider is, what is the scope of this requirement in terms of the avodah itself? Meaning, does this or these, and again, maybe it could be mechalek, if there are two dinim, you might be mechalek, do these dinim, are they, minimally, they are, according to the makar, they are connected to the chiper ba'ado, ba'ad beiso, right? Uba'ad, you know, all of the kohanim. So certainly it applies to the par, you know, the hakrava of the par asher lo. Does it apply also to the se'irim? Right? Does it apply to the rest of the avodas? Right, just like, you know, wherever there's a requirement of Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, whatever that expanse is, so he also has to be Nasui and only Nasui to one wife? Or no, the Gavra Kohen Gadol's requirement is one thing, and the requirement of, you know, either Nasui or Nasui Lechad, you know, or only to one, or unless you're Mechalek, that applies, you know, in a less, you know, dramatic way, like when he's back to the Ketores, or the Tamid, or the Menorah, according to the Rambam, or the Trumas Hadeshen, according to the Baal HaMor. Right? Does he have to be Nasui and to only one wife? I'm not going to talk about whether, you know, what happens when he is Mechalek, the Lechem HaPanim, if he needs to, but, or being Maktir, the, you know, Ivarim of the previous days. I mean, where do you draw the line when it comes to this? And obviously the real question here then is twofold. This, I think, is interesting to and important to point out. One, of course, is, you know, what the nature of this halacha is, you know, and how expansive it is. And that, number one, does it reach the point of defining the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur? Like it's a din of the Gavra Kohen Gadol. Right? Or, you know, does this idea of his, you know, needing to connect with, you know, what should be his status Kol HaShana, or just, you know, these themes of being, you know, a physically, you know, in the world, you know, person, this, you know, rejection of celibacy, but also this rejection of, you know, excess, you know, physicality, I guess, even the one that's allowed to others, does that play, you know, different roles in different parts of the avodah? So these are two different ways to look at it, but I think that they are both important. In addition to that, those two perspectives, which are like, how do you assess, you know, the significance of the scope of this din, there's also another question, and that is, since the Mokka, and this leads us to the final topic, but I'm not going to discuss the final topic yet. We're just going to go into details of this topic quickly. Since the Mokka really is the Chiper Vado Ba'ad Beso, you know, and Ba'ad Kol Echa V'Kohanim, meaning it's parachatos asher lo, if that really is the makar, and it is, so the idea, you know, that that, you know, would also dictate when it comes to other parts of the avoda, right, you could say, as you know, just a gili milsa, you know, or if it's a din in the gavra kohen, so then it's going to apply throughout. But what I'm trying to suggest is the possibility that the Gevura Sari, you know, raises, which is that it's only a din in the par asher lo, because that's the only, you know, in the chabal lechidusha, right? So it's only on the personal part, you could say, right? And the personal part as it affects, you know, the bidui of Echa V'Kohanim. That would be very fascinating. But if you go beyond that, right? So is it just because, well, it's a gili milsa, this is part of the avoda, it's all the avoda, etc.? Or is it because, you know, v'chiper ba'do ba'ad beso ba'ad Echa V'Kohanim, namely the parachatos itself, is something which has wider impact? And of course, if it has, you know, wider impact, but not quite the widest impact, meaning there are things which require Kohen Gadol, but don't require Kohen Gadol Nasui or Eina Nasui Lishnayim, right? You know, somewhere in between, in other words. In other words, where, you know, the power, of course, does, but, you know, let's say, you know, Tamidim and Menorah don't, you know, but maybe the Seirim all do, you know, etc. So that would also be very interesting, right? It would show this sway, I guess, of the power achatas ashalo, and the fact that it is indivisible, and therefore the requirements, you know, that it carries are indivisible to the rest of it. So I think these are, again, it's important sometimes just to define the questions. So now, having defined the questions, let's discuss some of the details. Oh. Okay. So, what was the first one we had? One din or two dinim. So in the Gemara, again, it appears that he has to be Natsui. That's clear. And it's also clear that he can't be married to two women. And it comes from the same Makar. Again, as I said before, in theory, you know, you could be Michalik and you could suggest Nafka Mina. You know, one issue which we'll get to in just a second, like what happens if he, you know, is already married to more than one wife, for example. Right. Does he have to divorce someone during the year? No, that's before he became Kohen Gadol. I mean, he was a Kohen Edger, he had two wives. And now he becomes Kohen Gadol. Is he obligated to divorce one of his wives? That's a major debate. Is he obligated to divorce one of his wives at least on Yom Kippur? Right? That's a major debate. Is there a difference between the two wives part, you know, and the Eino Nasui part? Right. And in general, this might be two different levels or two different dinim. So it is just interesting to note, as the Achronim do, that the Rambam in Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim in Perek Aleph only mentions that you need a Kohen Gadol Nasui, or the Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, which we already discussed. He does not mention the whole din of two wives. So that it might imply that there are two different dinim. However, the Rambam in... did I bring everything? Yeah. There are two other Rambams. What is in Isurei Bia? I'm sorry, what is in... Yeah, Perek in Zion. But the Rambam says, this is Perek Zayin Halacha Yud Gimel. Mitzase al Kohen Gadol Sheyisa Nara Besula. Misha Tivgar Tesar Olav. Shneimar Bhu Isha Bisla Yikach. Isha Lo Ktana Bisla Lo Bogeres. Then the Rambam adds, that part is not controversial, well, we'll get to it in a second. There's something to say about it, but it's not controversial. That's based on the Pasuk in Emor, who Besula, Behu Isha Besula HaYikach, right, as opposed to an Amana. So we'll get to just back in a second. And then the Rambam adds, which is controversial, the Einanose Shtei Nashim Li'olam Ki Achas Shenemar Isha Achas V'lo Shtai. The Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry two wives. That's a big chiddush. I mean, as a pasuk, Isha Achas V'lo Shtayim. Again, the Kesef Mishnah suggests that the Kesef Mishnah, the Magid Mishnah. This is based on his understanding of the sugya in Yevamos Nun Tesam and Aleph. Not so simple if you look at the Gemara there. Where did the Rambam get this makar from? And where did he get this din from? But here is where the Rambam mentions Isha Achas Velo Shtayim. And then again, in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash, what is it, Perek? I have it here somewhere, right? Is it Perek Heyud? Kvar b'yarnu b'sefer chamishi, meaning sefer kedusha, shehu osur ba'almana u'metzuva ala basula ve'ina nosa shtei nashim v'im nosa shtayim. Here he adds, eino yochal lavod b'yom atzom. Right, again, this expression of b'yom atzom we saw in sefer mitzvos, right, and also in Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph and Tuchos Avodas Yom Kippurim. And here as well, I think every time the Rambam mentions that, again, this is his way of saying that Yom Kippur is not just about the Avoda, but it's about the, you know, the full Kulal Hashem, full press of Kulal Hashem, right, in Shvisa Sasar, the Tzom, the Yisur Malacha, right, without the Heter Ochol Nefesh, this as well. These are the three times, I think, that he has that expression, the Yom HaTzom. Ad Shigaresh Achatz. Okay. So, it's fascinating that here, in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash and in Yisurei Bia, the Rambam doesn't mention that the Kohen Gadol needs to be married. Explicitly, we'll get that in a second, but he mentions the Isur of having two wives, and here he mentions in Kli HaMikdash, right, that on Yom Kippur, he has to, in order for the Abodah to be Kshera, right, and the Achalava would be a Matzomah, Chigarish Achas, presumably to be Kshera. And I guess you could argue that it's, you know, that it's an Isur, not a Psul. Doesn't sound that way to me, but I guess that's an outside possibility. Famously, the Midchas Chinuch, for some reason, overlooked this Rambam in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash. The Rambam, the Midchas Chinuch, just has the Ha'ara that the Rambam never mentions the requirement of two, the Psul Avoda and Yom Kippur of two wives. He only mentions, he said, it's very peculiar. The Rambam is Machadesh that the din of two wives applies all year long, right, which doesn't appear the Pashtus in the Gemara. And the thing that does appear in the Gemara, which is that you can't have two wives on Yom Kippur, that he omits completely. If you look in the new Midchas Chinuch on the bottom, right, they point out that, you know, somehow he missed this the Rambam of Hilchos Kli HaMikdash, where he says, you know, this halacha very clearly. But it's fascinating that it doesn't bring them together. Now, does the Rambam speak about the fact that the Kohen Gadol needs to be married all year round? So the answer is it depends how you read, right, the words in Perek Zayin Halacha Yud Gimel. The Rambam says that mitzvah saseh al kohen gadol sheisa nara besula. So the Mishnah Lamelech, there's a big discussion in the Achronim here. The Mishnah Lamelech in Ichos Ishus Perek Aleph Halacha Ches, Sefer Chinuch says this. Many understand this, that the pasuk v'hu isha besula yikach, and that the Rambam's understanding of it as well, is that it's an isra aseh, alav abo mechal aseh aseh, meaning what it means is you can't be married to an almana. Even to an almana or a bu'ula. But there's no chiyuv that you have to be married to someone, i.e., therefore, a basula. That's how the Mishnah Melech and many of the Achronim understood it. In which case, the Rambam, it's just fascinating that he mentions the two wives in Kli HaMikdash and in Yisurei Bia. In neither place does he mention the requirement of Nasui, Kol HaShana, or as a requirement even for Yom Kippur, which he's also speaking about in Kli HaMikdash. And in Avodas Yom HaKippurim, he only mentions Nasui, and as I mentioned the other day, it's kind of very matter of fact. It's not like, you know, there's no drum roll, there's no, you know, he has to be Nasui. It's like, you know, Agav is a description of the Gavra or the conditions of Avodas, either the Gavra Kohen Gadol or Avodas Kohen Kunugo, but who, you know, but who she and Nasui, or should not be done by a Kohen Gadol Nasui. I find that fascinating. And say the, you know, Tzorich Lios, you know, Nasui Leisha, you know, Kedei Lavod. Says, you know, it's like just a definition. Okay. On the other hand, if you interpret way some Achronim, then certainly a lot of the Achronim, Rabbi Yochanan Fesh of Perlo and Tzipa Bitzrav Sajigon understood it this way, and I think they quote the Tshuva the Dvar Avram, where he discusses a lot of the, I guess, interesting hechatimtzis about these issues. Other achronim, that maybe the pshat, I believe this to be the case without, even before I saw those, that mitzvah say al kohen gadol she yisa nara besula implies that it's a chiyu to be nasui, kol shana. So then the Rambam is mentioning kol shana, both of these dinim. It's a little bit of a different emphasis. Kol shana, he mentions both dinim. And in Avodas Yom HaKippurim, he only mentions Nasui. And in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash, he only mentions, regarding Yom Kippur, the two wives. So, again, the Turei Eben just, you know, asks the question, like, how come the Rambam doesn't mention two wives? He says, oh, no, he's Lishitaso, that if you have to look what he wrote, you know, in Hilchos Yisurei Bia, you're not allowed to have two wives all year round anyway, so he doesn't need to mention it again in Hilchos Avodas Yom HaKippurim. That's the Turei Eben's persuasion. The Rambam Lishitaso in Hilchos Yisurei Bia. But that's strange, because he does mention, especially, he does mention Nasui, right? Even though he's mentioned that in Isurin Bia, if you read it this way, he's mentioned in Isurin Bia if you read it the way I'm suggesting now, and the way some Achronim read it, naming it as a chiyuv. I should also note that if there is a chiyuv to be nasui kol hashana, that is significant because the Rambam, even though he certainly promotes and encourages the chiyuv to be married, right, doesn't count it as a separate mitzvah. Right? That's something we discuss when we learn Kiddushin, at least in my understanding of it. Not like the smag, a smak rather, who says, you know, mitzvah nisa isha. But the Rambam pshat, we'll talk about it again at the beginning of Shkita, but it's a parallel to it, is that if a person is going to get married, and he probably is obligated to get married in order to be mekayim period of arivya, at minimum, right, then the mitzvah is likuchinela, mitzvah saseh, to do it bederech, right, kiddushe, kesef, shtar, or bia. The modality, the method, is the mitzvah. Right, but when it comes to, depending on how you read the Rambam here, when it comes to Kohen Gadol, not only can he not be celibate, right, according to this reading of the Rambam, he's the only person who has a chiyuv to get married. Right, directly. It's fascinating. Again, not Mishnah Malach doesn't read it that way. But just an interesting thing to know. Either way, the first point I'm trying to make is that the Rambam's treatment of one and the two, I mean, of being married to one woman and the not being married to two, is a little bit curious in terms of what he... And through heaven is fine to say, well, given the Rambam Shita, so you have to have anyway, but he doesn't say anywhere... I mean, he does say it, but he says it in Kli HaMikdash, right, that it's Ma'akev the Avodah. So what is really going on? Why the diffusion? Why did the Rambam... Either way, is a question in the Rambam. What the Rambam means about being married all year round is a question. And whether it's a mitzaseh or just an yisraseh. There's no question that he's mechadesh, that you can't have two wives. There's no question that in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash he says that that, you know, affects the avoda, in Minchas Sinuch notwithstanding. But what I'm saying is, either way, even with all of that, there's a curiosity in the Rambam's treatment of these deen. You know, why doesn't he mention, since the most explicit place in the Bavli is the Sugya Yuma about, you know, both of these deenim, why wouldn't that be the, why wouldn't he have this halacha, you know, based on b'chiper bado bad beso, why would he just kind of definition it when it comes to Nasui and just ignore it when it comes to Shtai? I don't know the answer completely, I just know that this is an important question. So having said that, let me add the following perspective. So the Rav, in the Kuntras of Yom Kippurim, as I mentioned in the past, has a very, I think, nice ha'ara, nice perspective on this problem. Namely, like, where did the Rambam get this halacha from? Right? That you can't have two wives all year round. So the Rav thought that basically, this accentuates the idea that the Hagdara of the Kohen Gadol is somebody who is omeid, right, and muchan, and mukshar, right, leos, you know, oveid, avodas Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur. And that's the idea here. Which, again, emphasizes one half of that reciprocal relationship, you know, that I keep trying to push. To me, I think that's, again, the formulation is amazing. I think it's a great, great idea, and I think it's true. But I think that it's insufficient. In other words, if the Rambam really thought that the only reason that you have to be married, let's say, or not married to two women all year round is so because the Hagdara of Kohen Gadol is somebody who's omeid, leos, oveid, you know, according to the conditions of the Avodas Yom Kippurim, it seems to me that it would be peculiar for him not to mention those conditions in Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim and only to mention them in Hilchos Yisurin Bia. And, you know, their ikuv, in terms of the two, in Hilchos the Hamikdash. So it seems to me that what the Rambam is trying to say is also what the Rav is saying. I don't, again, at the end of the day, the Makor is still in the Gemara's, certainly, the way the Psukim are understood by the Gemara, in the context of Yom Kippur, but maybe what the Rambam was trying to say was also the second half of the reciprocal relationship, the dialectic. Namely, the Rambam wanted you to know that it wouldn't work for there to be a requirement of Nasui and or one wife and not two wives. That would not work on Yom Kippur. I don't mean practically. I mean, again, the Ravid, just to be clear about it, you know, the Ravid was, you know, bothered by this Rambam, as was the Ramach. Both of them asked, like, where did the Rambam get this from? It seems like it's only in the Avodas Yom Kippurim. The Ravid says, Om Rav Ram, lo niskaper zos asvara, Om Rav Besachet Yoma, ele beisam rachman avalo shtei batim. That's the Makar. Vef shesho nesam b'shtei nashim ele b'yom ha-kippurim. He also has a more pragmatic explanation. I was suggesting it has more to do with who the Kohen Gadol is, how representative he is of the people, how ideal, you know, being Nasui and so on, but not, you know, double Nasui is. Right? He thinks it's more of a pragmatic thing. But then he adds, Aval Adas no senes, Kain Kadeshla Yitztarech Ligare Sherev Yom Kippur. Right, and then his bother Elishani Motzei VaYisa Lo Yehayada Nashim Shtayim VaYoled Banim Banos. It's a practical question, but the point is that the Ravid is willing to say, kind of, you know, the half of the Rav's idea, but not the conceptual part at all. Meaning, what he, you know, he's going to have two wives during the year, and then Erev Yom Kippur he's going to go through the emotional trauma, or just the bureaucratic, you know, process. Of divorcing one of them, right? So, in a way, you know, so that he can be over the votus Yom Kippurim on Yom Kippur, you know, he shouldn't have this problem. Again, what the Rav is saying is conceptual. He's saying, no, to be muchan lavod be Yom Kippurim is the hagdara, you know, of the Kohen Gadol. Okay. So what I'm trying to say is though that I think that is totally true. And I think you could also say the opposite. And I think more likely, you could say one or the other to solve this problem, but I think more likely both are just true. And that is that the reason that the Rambam emphasizes this in Hilchos Isurei Bia, and again in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash, referring back to Isurei Bia, and even then integrating it into the Yom Kippur part, is that if this were not a value all year round, then it would be a dubious value, you know, to create for Yom Kippur. Not because of the emotional or bureaucratic, you know, fallout, but because of the idea that Yom Kippur, you know, does define the Kohen Gadol, right? But only because Achas Bashana, there are values of Yom Kippur, right, that also define the Kohen Gadol, and that need to. And that the continuity, there's a disruption between Yom Kippur and the rest of the year, and many dinim, but there that has to be also, you know, with projecting the relevance, you know, and the spillover as well. So that's why I think he emphasizes this din in Isurei Bia. Found other makoros for it, but again, they wouldn't have maybe been compelling, not for the din in Yom Kippur. Then he mentions it in Kli HaMikdash. And then by the time it's in Avodas Yom Kippurim, it's kind of like a davar pashut. Again, why he drops the two wives and you know thinks it's enough to say the nasui part, even though he has both, why that's in the Yom Kippur and the other, I'm not sure. Maybe it implies different levels. But either way, that is the suggestion. So it's not so much even the common, it's the common denominator, I guess, and the different intense expressions of this, Kol Shana and Avodas Yom Kippurim. But I'm suggesting it's one halacha, not two halachos. The Rav's suggesting it's one halacha, it's a din in Avodas Yom Kippurim. I guess in theory you could have suggested it's a din in Kol Shana, you know, only, you know, and expresses itself on Yom Kippur. You know, if you're not behaving, you know, properly, you know. Actually, it's an interesting question. Some achronim I've seen raise the question, like, what if the Kohen Gadol is married to one wife, but he, let's say he married not a Besula, but an Amana? Would that be a pagam for the Avod? I think that's an interesting question. Not sure. Okay. Anyways, let's go on to the next question, and that is not whether this is one or two dinim, which I think raises a question, and you know whether it applies kol shana or only on Yom Kippur or in a different way on Yom Kippur. Let me discuss this for another minute. What I alluded to, that is the question of more than one wife. So the Gemara says clearly that... Yeah?
I was just thinking this quickly, that what we're working against in Yom Kippur versus Kol HaShana is a fine. Celibacy would usually be more emphasized in the context of Yom HaKippur, which is the Afei Moshe B'nei Aaron. So what the Rambam tells you there is Kol HaShana Nasri. The Kol HaShana, which would probably be more connected to excess.
I like that very much. I didn't follow that, but it's very good. I mean, it's saying that Yom Kippur, the thing is, you know, just to make sure that he's not so.
Right, because you would have thought, like, Yom Kippur, let me run away from all of this.
You know, you're not worried on Yom Kippur that he's going to be, like, you know, too physical.
Right.
But Kol HaShana, you want to emphasize the other part.
Right.
Very good. I like it.
And that's the Achrimos part also.
Achrimos Shnei B'nai Aaron.
Isn't that loaded?
Especially if you take advance. Very good. I like it. I hadn't thought of it, and I like it. Very good. Okay. So this is an interesting question. The Gemara says clearly that if you have a Kohen Hedyot, right, who is married to an Almana, that you don't have to divorce and he becomes a Kohen Gadol, right, there's no problem. Again, some of the Achronim raised this question about, you know, who... You know, Besula Ba'amavi Kach Isha, but they mean it in the context of, presumably, they don't mean it, you know, all they mean it is in the context of an Isser. Let's say he was already Kohen Gadol, he married an Almana, would that be an Ikuv for the Avoda? Again, this, by the way, let me make it clear. I think it's an interesting question that they ask. I don't remember where I've seen this, I've seen it somewhere, this question, but. On the face of it, you know, in the Kabbalah, Chidusha. Right? We don't know that that's the equivalent of having two wives or not being Nasui, but it's an interesting question. Anyway, what's clear in the Gemara is that if a Kohen Hedyot is married to an Almana legally, and then he gets appointed to be Kohen Gadol, then he doesn't have to divorce her and he can continue to live with her. Oh. What if he is married to two wives? As a Kohen Hedyot, and then becomes Kohen Gadol. So here there's a whole discussion. You have to look at the details. The Or Sameach speaks about this in Hilchos Yisrei Biya. The Chafetz Chaim speaks about this in the Kutei Halachos. These are not known discussions. Here in Yuma. And Sefer Mitzvah of Sanjagon speaks about it in... the one that I gave you on the Bar Mekomos, where was that? Yeah. And the Sfasema speaks about it. I gave you a bunch of things to look at. Right, so some of them equate this. They say, listen, it shows whatever he did beheter, you know, bizman, she was a Kohen Hedyot, you know, he's not obligated as Kohen Gadol to take different steps. Oh. And here there's a debate within that. I'm trying to remember who says what. I think the Or Sameach says that, and I think Rav Sefer Mitzvah Sanjagon says, I'll tell you what he says in a second, that, all right, on Yom Kippur, he has to be compliant. Now, this idea, this heter, you know, just like you can continue to be married to the Almana because it was beheter, so too you can be married, continue to be married to the two wives, they say that's during the year. However, on Yom Kippur, right, it's still a problem of the Chiper Ba'ado Ba'ad Beiso. So he still can't have more than one wife. And I think the Chafetz Chaim, if I remember correctly, if not, I'm just maybe interchanging them, thinks even on Yom Kippur it would be okay. The truth is that this whole idea, to begin with, is not so pashut. I mean, it's one thing to say that you're married to one woman and choose an almana, you know, that, and you were married to her and when you were Kohen Hedyot, there was no Isser. So the shame, oh, he's not married to a Basula, doesn't, you know, he's married to Heter. Oh, you know, at that point, after that point, there's no, She, oh, but here it says v'hu besula ba'amav yikach isha, meaning that's paka that becomes irrelevant. To say that, you know, a kohen gadol is only allowed to be married to one woman, you know, and now he's, it's still, there's a shame, nasu l'shtei nashim now. So it's not so pashut to think that just because an almana lehedyot, you know, doesn't, is not affected by the minui kohen gadol, you know, again, he's not doing an additional iser. If the mechayev is, you know, the maisa vera of, you know, marrying a second wife, then you could compare it to Besul and Almana and Shnei Nashim. But if it's the shame, you know, being Nasui, right? So there's probably no shame of being Nasui Le Almana, you know, as long as it was Beheter, even though now he's a Kohen Gadol. Because the second, you know, I mean, that's an interesting question anyway. I shouldn't say it that way. Obviously, these Achronim, who are equating it, they must think that the shame, the marriage of shame basula is like, you know, that's the status who she is. She's a basula. Which, by the way, makes a little bit of sense. I just think in the end of the day, they're not comparable. The reason it makes sense a little bit, again, the Chinuch explains why is it that, you know, Kohen Gadol has to marry a basula. Again, a little bit is, but the general idea is that he tries to portray is, you know, the Kohen Gadol is somebody who's, you know, Tahara and Nikius, I'll add, you know, his like idealism, you know, and the ideal circumstances, especially, we'll add in light of Josh's ha'ara, but by ha'ara earlier, but even now, more, right? You know, we want him to have a physical, you know, life and relationship and a family and so on. That builds in greater sense of responsibility. You know, the Ezer Kenegdo, these are all the chatfilas. The bond that he has, the sense of achrayas, not just on Yom Kippur, right? Where, you know, he's serving, you know, in a very personal way, you know, for concentric circles, not just selfishly for himself. I think that's also part of it, not just the physicality of it. But we'll get to that in a second. But remind me in a second to speak very quickly about children. But in general, like, we try to idealize structurally, again, everything is only structural, you know, the circumstances of a Kohen Gadol, including his marriage. So that's what the Chinuch says. Chinuch says, you know, he should marry only a basula because, you know, then there aren't comparisons, there's no, like, mixed loyalties. Moreover, you know, a basula, you know, has, you know, is somebody who is, you know, whose personal experience is such, you know, that, you know, they weren't, you know, overly, let's say, you know, tainted, let's say, by other kind of obsessions. So basically, it's a method of kind of structurally, I guess, increasing the odds that the Kohen Gadol's focus, you know, can be on his avoda, notwithstanding his having a family, or even better, that he has an ideal family because that is a positive contribution, you know, to who and what he should be. That's the way I would look at it. Anyways, so if you want to say, oh, so there's a chalos nesuei basula that, you know, that exists, you know, even afterwards. Meaning, it's not just a din. You could have said it's just a din in the maisa nesuin, right, and in the bia rishona, whatever you want to call it, right. But, you know, this, which is a little bit what I was saying before, but I don't think you have to go that far. So, you know, just like, you know, Kohen Hedyot, you know, who married Almana, you know, we drop that kind of ideal because we don't expect him. As long as he didn't do anything be'isar, there's no problem. Or, you know, it's not a big enough of a problem that we're going to demand, you know, draconian, you know, actions on his part, right? So too, huadin legabe shtei nashim. And what I was saying was, but he has two wives, so that's a continued status, you know, once he's married, so he has a wife, you know, and that, you know, more. So now I'm trying to be, I guess, you know, advocating the other side a little more. There is a shame basula, even in the continued issues, you know, not just based on the Chinuch. I just think the Chinuch put his finger on something which, you know, we could take even a little bit further. Having said that, in the end of the day, I still think There's no clear, but clearly there's a difference between those two things. But there is a group that thinks that at least Kol Shana, there would be a heter based on almana of two wives. And then there's a debate within Yom Kippur whether it would even extend to Yom Kippur, which is more mechudash as well. In Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perlo and Sefer Mitzvah, Rabbi Sanjigon goes even further. He basically suggests, you know, he kind of combines these issues together. He says, no, when the Rambam says you can't marry two wives, or you shouldn't marry two wives, he didn't mean you can't have two wives. What he meant was, it goes on the earlier part of the halacha. This is just a novel reading, which I don't buy at all, but the Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perlo not only bought it, but he gave himself a little bit of a pat on the back at the end of it. He said, like, this is really a good job. Mitzvah say al kohen gadol sheyisa nara besula. Right? And then it says, ve'eina nosei shtei nashim li'olam ki'achas shenemer eisha achas v'lo shtayim. Meaning this, so the way he read it was, there's an obligation, he read it not like the Mishnah Melech. There's a chiyuv to marry a besula. Right? So what happens if he's already married? Right? To a besula or to an almana, whatever the case may be. He's still obligated to marry a basula? Let's say even more extreme to make it better for him, even. Let's say he married an almana when he was a kohen hedyot. Now he's a kohen gadol. So is he obligated to marry a basula? So the Rambam's saying, but of course he doesn't have to marry another basula. He's already married. Right? Meaning he doesn't have to marry a new one, the Torah's kohen gadol, or he doesn't have to marry a basula at all as kohen gadol. Maybe even if he originally married an almana. That's how he interprets the effect of all these things is to discuss this question, right? Namely, does he really have to be nasui kol hashana? That's the Mishnah Melech idea. And even if he does, you know, let's say he comes into it as a kohen hedyot with different, you know, baggage, or whatever you want to call it. It's not baggage. With, you know, with a different reality. Is there a difference between Besula Amana, Shtei Nashim, and is there even a difference at Kinekach for Yom Kippur and for the, you know, for the Kapara and for the Aviv? So that is a very interesting discussion and argument as well. The Pashtus, if you ask me, it sounds like, you know, he would have to divorce the second wife, that it would be Ma'akev on Yom Kippur, even if it was done all beheter. Again, I can't prove it, because it didn't the shame. It's all about, I think, you know, the avoda and the gavra, kohen gadol legabe, that particular avoda. Okay, so let's move on to the next question, and that is the scope of this halacha. So, as I mentioned, it is, what didn't we discuss yet? Oh, I want to say something about his family? Yeah, this very quickly. So the Gvor Sari just points out also that when it comes to if you look at the Sugya and Kiddushin of Chaf Aleph, right, in the comparable, seemingly comparable context, Eved Ivri Nirtza, then Beso sometimes also means bunny. And then he has a whole discussion about Zera Ein La'ayin Alav, you know, and Mishpacha, what's Zera, what's Mishpacha, he doesn't so much go into that. When we learned Kiddushin a couple years back, We discussed that issue, right? There are different categories in halacha. Zera, you know, what about b'nei banim? So he has this discussion also about b'nei banim. The points of the bigger question that he's asking is, does the kohen gadol? How come we don't find that the kohen gadol, even though in other contexts beso includes family, means children? Why don't we find that that is a requirement here as well? Right, kashuli perakamid kedushin gaber siyas alma banim nami b'klal. So why aren't we makbid here as well? Yeah. So it could be. So he discusses what maybe ban. Maybe it's a special kedushin nevet nirtza. Maybe it's noveya from other psukim. But in the end, he thinks, you know, that it seems like this should apply. Mikim Chikane, Misa Dahai Bihiper Bado Ba Beso, one of the chalal, hu adin kol yotze yirecho. He says, but then, you know, if it would apply to children, it should apply to all progeny, the dore doros. Vein linyan she'in lo, el echad mizaro, afil dora siri, ashar kulon mesu. And then he's mistapek. You know, who's included in this ba'ad beso anyway? What about grandchildren, great-grandchildren, you know, etc. But based upon him, siv gabi parkon, gano b'yom ha-kipur, b'chiper ba'ado ba'ad beso. Kodem agrola s'irim, b'hikriv, asheni achar agrola. So this is his big question. Oh. So, again, I think the answer could be one of two things. In general, one is that it's not necessarily biyado to be nasui, and not to be nasui to shtei nashim. It's not necessarily biyado to have children, right? To keep the superior rivia, but it doesn't always happen. You have to be grateful for that to happen. Moreover, again, if it's a din in the gavra, if it's again the celibacy part and so on, you know the eza kenegdo part. That kind of bond part, maybe that is only a din in Ishta. Although, again, I think you can make an interesting case for saying, certainly in terms of a sense of greater responsibility and the concentric circles, you know, that obviously family, children, progeny is part of that as well. But maybe not to the extent that Ishto Kigufo, you know, is. So I think that's an interesting aspect of it. At one point, he suggests the following. Aval Aaron Gufe de Mishtoi Beikra. Right, base vidui in lamali, but kol kohanim zarohim. This is his thing. He says, "Well, if it's really true that children are included in the beso of the vidui, he says, so then you're going to have a problem with Aaron HaKohen, because Aaron HaKohen was the father of the entire Shevet Kahuna. Right again, this week's parsha, right, the Korach story." Right? So then you wouldn't have needed the second vidui. And he says, the psukim in Achremos are about Aaron, Gufe. Kimi the Kvar is Vada, the vidui Rishon, Allah Valishta Valkol Zaro Beklal, vidui Sheni Lamali. The Afagav, the Kolkoin Godol Shokola Doros Beklal Aaron name? Right? Kinatani Lekaman, the Chipera Kohen Hashem Shachoso. So this is perfect because we. This is part. This goes on the Takas Aaron HaKohen list, right? He too is pointing out that the Pesukim really speak about Aaron. We don't speak about Kohen Gadol, right? So maybe the Bidui is there under the name of Aaron, even though he didn't really need it. Lamaisa, right? Mikomokom Hani Milimidavar. Then he says like this: Hani Milimidavar Shashayech BaAaron Gufei Hu Adinami Kol Kohen Gadol the Alma. Whoa! This is a real. Again, does he mean this technically? So it doesn't sound, that's a conceptual, it's like the Rav's idea. Meaning it's a din of tachas Aaron with an added, I think, problematic assumption. I mean, it's the Rav's idea that this is really a din of tachas, or let's say that Torah's idea, of it's a din of tachas Aaron, right? With the added assumption that even if there was something that Lemaisa, everything that Aaron did was paradigmatic here, and therefore, it had to work for Aaron, for him then to transmit it to the next generation. You don't transmit anything to the next generation in this whole avoda that didn't have its roots in Aaron HaKohen, even though it was a pragmatic reason that it did it. Right? That's the mentality of this Gvura Sari. What I keep calling it Tori Evan, because Tori Evan is the one on Megillah. The same thing. Shagasari. That's a terrific saying. Right? The Torah shouldn't have said Aaron if it doesn't apply. Aaron is not a stand-in for Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol is a stand-in for Aaron. Amazing. Okay, so it's limited to that bond. Or the celibacy factor, or both. Ubevidui base nichlalu banav bichlal koakarnim lefiach base vidui nalayu lalu nagu gam ba'aron. Okay? So this is a fascinating discussion. Then he wants to know, maybe it depends on the Machlokas Rav Shimon and the Chachamim, whether the Seira Mishtalech was Mechaper al the other Kohanim B'Shar Averos, or that also depend on Par Kohen Gadol, an issue which is relevant to Par 2. Okay. Anyways, this is, I think, a very interesting question, and as I think, you know, there are interesting halachic and hashkafic conclusions about the concentric circles here as well. Okay. What about, is it ma'akev? And what does it apply to? So is it ma'akev is an issue that already... Again, could you be mechalik between Nasi and Shtayim? I think in either direction the answer is yes. It's already a safek in the Tosas Yeshanim, right in the beginning of the Masechta. Tosas Rosh weighs in. The Meiri says it's ma'akev. Tosas Yeshanim here has two deos. Right, Tosas Yeshanim. Shema Tomas Yishto. This one? Yeah. Shema Tomas Ishto. L'sheni lo yumatkin an isha acheres. Why do they need a second wife for the backup Kohen Gadol? D'lo ma'akba. That's the first day. We come back on hachom berisho mitzu na muvkar. V'afilo ma'akba l'kula hay lo chashin an shetamu seishas hasheni. G'eichet lo chashin an b'gemar l'mitzas hasheni. The Mishnah says, you know, ain't l'dav herself. So a backup, and then a backup, you know, for his for the backup's wife, you know, that's like, you know, that's pushing. It's no latest us, not enough for latest us. Okay, but basically these are 2 days in Tosis Shanim. So this is a debate. The Gvura Sari has this whole safek, and he is mistopping, goes back and forth on it. At one point he says, he compares it to, it's very interesting, to the requirement of Prisha. Is Prisha ma'akev? Seems clearly not. So if Prisha's not ma'akev, is Nasui ma'akev, or Shtei Nashim ma'akev? That's what he's mistopic about. So he says at one point, maybe you should be, maybe they're the same, or maybe you should be mechalik. Because the Prisha, he assumes, this is very fascinating also, we alluded to the Prisha right in the beginning, and that it might, you know, again, this extra caution, you know, could protect the Kohen Gadol, is about the Kohen Gadol's outsized role here. But he assumes, at Davar Pashut, that the Prisha, because it's Shival Yamim, Lifnei Yom Kippur, is just precautionary. But it doesn't have any impact on the avoda. In other words, an avoda of a Kohen Gadol shelo hifrish atzmo, and a Kohen Gadol shehifrish atzmo is the same avoda. That's the Gevurah Kurosari. Now, he doesn't consider the possibility that there's a chalos of Kohen Gadol shehufrash. That it somehow defines it, which I think is possible and is promising, actually. Right? But he does think that Nasui, or Shtei and Nashim, because it's a din on Yom Kippur itself, is a din in the Avoda. So originally he thought, oh, it's a din in the Avoda, and maybe it's Ma'akev. Then in the continuation, he considers the possibility, he said, no, not necessarily. Maybe the difference is on the level of affecting the avoda. In other words, how far are you going to go to ensure the prisha? How far are you going to go to? It seems like we go further to ensure the nasui than we do to ensure the prisha. So his first muskal rishon was because the prisha, right, is not ma'akev, and the nasui is ma'akev. So then in the continuation he says no, maybe not necessarily. Maybe the Nasi is not Ma'akev either. So why do we push one more than the other? So one, he has a technical suggestion based on the Gemara that Kohanim are Zrizim, right? So that it's easier, you know, to you don't have to be as worried about that. That's a technicality. But then his bigger idea is this idea, and that is that even if neither are ma'akev, they still are different for the same reason that one might be ma'akev and the other not. Namely, that prisha is a pre-state, but he thinks not a chalos in the Kohen Gadol or in Zavoda, whereas nasui, and maybe bias echa velo shtei batim, is a din in the Avoda. Now again, I also think you could be mechalik between a din in the Kohen Gadol and a din in the Avoda. Okay, let me just tell you the line. Where he has this line? Odi Shlomar. The Haim Tam is Koshel Lubi L'Safek Beisaf Efshar Tema Deloma Akev Mashalo Koshu Afilu Tema. Sorry, Deloma Akev Mashalo Koshel L'Safek Prisha Hol Ve'Enam Akev. We should the Bishlom Agaber Prisha Afagav Lohu First Kodam Yom Kippurim Mikom Akamai Dehava Habe Ubi Yom Kippurim B'Shas Avoda Ein Kan Chisaron Mitzvah Mashen Kan Chisaron Beisaf B'Shas Avoda Hika Chisaron Mitzvah. That's his idea. And then he says, "Ein lechalik bein ein lo bayis klal yeshlo beis batim to travayu chad taimaim ubi beiso nafkalu." I'm not so sure about that either, in light of what we said before. Vimkei lomli takanta lahotzi, etc. But then he has an actual nafkamina. He says that even if they're both not ma'akev, if you have to choose between, let's say, a dropping prisha, let's say you have a you can get prisha, but the new kohen gadol, I'm sorry, say the other way. Let's say you have prisha, right? But the kohen gadol, let's say the kohen gadol's wife dies. So you have prisha, but you don't have nasui. Is it better to scrap the prisha and to take the other kohen gadol, who's not even a regular kohen gadol, right? Because he's nasui. So he's mistopic about that. And he says, "Miu homi boile hecha sheira shemesa isha shol kohen gadol biyom kippurim mi shamish kohen gadol adiv shapira shiva avagav leisol beso." Odilma beso adiv mi prisha zayin mi shamish koin acher shes mino tachta mistabrish asheni mishamish hovi yesh lo bayis lilu koin gadol dein lo bayis shem shamish ika chisaron mitzvah b'shas avoda ashen ken ashen. Same mentality, he brings it back. Okay, so these are very interesting questions. A, whether prisha and nasui, etc., are chalosim in the gavra Kohen Gadol. B, whether they also, even if they're not, A, whether Makalik between what's Ma'akev and not. C, even if not, even if both are not Ma'akev, whether one is a Chisaron and the Avoda, while the other is just, you know, Ma'idahavaha. Okay? Then finally gets to the third question, and that is the question of the scope. Akati Eshla Ayin, Bahad the Beso, Ikapad Rachmana B'Shas. Kaparas paro dafka shila bayis avoshas kaparas shte seirim leislanba daha hai beso loksiv ella gabe kaparas paro, right, in terms of the makar vafil read the spirulei by Yehuda and Shavuos the bishar beros echad karni echad yisrael miskaper besir mishnaleach mikomakom eshalom lo kapit kra beso ala bekaparas shalo and a para hamiyuchad lo. Odilma kula milsa kapid abeso, right? Shekol avodas yom kippurim tzarachios b'kohen gadol nasui. Afilu Rab Shimonami, afalpi shekol kaparasa v'paro viduyo. So he leaves it b'tzarach iyun. That's a fascinating issue. The point I was trying to make before was, of course, if you look at the Rambam, right? The clear impression is that the requirement, certainly of Kohen Gadol Nasui, applies to everything. Right. So again, he's wondering, you know, only the par, or even the Seir. And even in the Seirim, if you ask me, you know, it depends what you want to connect. I mean, the Pyre and the Seir Hanasa Bifnim, or also the Seir Mishtaleach. Because from a Vidui point of view, right, the Seir Mishtaleach is connected to the Pyre. That was the point I was trying to make the other day, is that the pairings here are more complex than you think. From a, you know, from a, you know, Eruv Damim and an Avodim perspective, obviously the Seir Bifnim is more comparable to the Par. So, again, only the Par, and it's more of a direct standard, or it's just a din in the, you know, in the Vidui and in the Kapara, there has to be other stakes, there has to be beso, but not too many besos, etc. Or extended to one of Seir or both Seirim, second possibility. Or, I guess in theory, you could extend it to all the Avodos and Miyukados, right? Wherever you need Big Day Lavan for. Or, it sounds in the Rambam like it applies to everything and anything, including Musafim of Shabbos. Right. Yeah. So also just to point out, some Achronim point out, and that is that there is a debate, that's what I had to look at here, there's a debate regarding the need for Eruv Hadam. This is just a good thing to talk about for a second. Anyway, yeah, there's a, regarding Eruv Hadam, So there's a discussion in the Gemara that Arvin the Kronos on his Beach. That's the Gemara on Nun Zion or base. Oh. So Rabelvel, I think I saw this is a very good sefer on Yuma. I haven't had a chance to really look at this thoroughly, but Minchas Avraham, he writes in general on Kachu Talmud of Rabelvel. It's a very good eye. Also had some Masoros from the Torah of Rabelvel, even some things that are not written down. But anyways, the it's a very worthwhile sefer. So he quotes there, you know, that there's a debate between Rabbi Kiveger and Rabbi Chaim. The Rabelvel in the stencils to Zvachim Bemdalad Amanale suggests that the Eruv, you know, in Karnei HaMizbeach, in the Mizbeach Hazav, of the Par and the Sire, is only Lechatkila, not B'nieved. Whereas Rabbi Kiveger in a Tshuva in Simen Kuf Kavtes assumes that it's Ma'akeh B'nieved as well. I think he wants to be Tole this question, namely whether or not you would extend the requirement of Nasui and base, you know, base Nashim, etc., to the Seir Anasa Bifnim, to that question. He means it more pragmatically, but I think it makes sense to think about it more conceptually. So that's an interesting issue. Another interesting issue also that he quotes is the discussion of the Or Sameach. The Or Sameach, Milhokos Yisirei Bia, raises the question, what happens if he has if he's married and the wife is nishtates, right? She's no longer a bastas. Is that a chisaron when it comes to the chiper ba'ado ba'ad beso? Because, you know, typically a shota can't bring a korban. Okay, so he, and therefore maybe would be the equivalent of being Eino Nasa. That's the Arsameach's discussion. So again, the Minchas Avraham just points out that, you know, number one, this is a little bit different. A Shota can't bring a Korban, can't be the Bailam of a Korban. In this case, the Kohen Gadol is the Bailam of the Korban. It's only a question of including the Kapara of Bado Bad Deso. And, again, he's being very pragmatic, but the Chataim that she was violated prior, you know, to being a Shota, again, I guess it depends on the particular Yom Kippur, would certainly not be a problem, but maybe even general there's no problem. Oh. So that's an interesting question about the Kohen Gadol and the Shutfas of the Korban, which we'll get to in just a couple of minutes. But again, it seems to me that, again, if the idea of, you know, the Ad Beso is connected also to the Rabbi Menuchas Yisuribiya, and it's a din more in, you know, again, some of the other things that we spoke about, then she doesn't have to be a bas das necessarily in terms of a chatoim and the kapara. Right? This is just a way of, you know, he's the Kohen Gadol and he's the head of the Shevet Kuhn. No? Right? But before that, he's the head of his family in that sense of achrayas or everything else that goes into that. So I just think that's an interesting safek. But, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's also to note that the Minchas Chinuch in Kuf Pei Hei thinks that the din of Nasri and Beis Nasher are not ma'akev. But as I say, the simple pshat in the Rambam is that they're ma'akev not only narrowly, but broadly as well. Okay. Yeah, there's more to talk about, but let's skip back on to the final topic. The final topic is the question of the par and the ayin. Okay, again, this is, I feel badly even starting it because I'm only going to be able to speak for a few minutes about it. But this is maybe does it pay to at least identify the Shaka Vatarias? Okay. So, again, if you look at the psukim are really fascinating because they really do go back and forth, you know, between the par and the sa'ir in a very, very in a very dramatic way. Okay. If you look at the parsha, it's going to take it for a second, right from the beginning, I just think it's very fascinating. Again, the alternative here being, let me just make it clear what I said before, which is that the par v'ayil are just, you know, personal heksherim of the Kohen Gadol, right? Or matirim for him to be nifnas lifnai v'lifnim, or at least the par is. You know, but the real heavy lifting, you can't, right? You could say that according to certain understandings, but it's almost impossible to say it if you think that Echav HaKohanim are getting most of their kapara through the par, not through the Siyar Mishtaleach, which is a debate in the Sugya and Shavuos, which is very relevant. Of course, somebody quotes it, again, for more technical reasons, but he quotes that a lot. And again, the more you think that you dafka need, even if it's not ma'akev, but it's a kiyum, or even if it's just allowed, the ir of Adam between the Korban Tzibor and this Korban Yachid seems to militate against it. But also the language of the psukim, you know, militate against this being all that it is. Again, Bezos Yavo Aaron Ela Kodesh, the Par Ben Bakar Lechatas Va'ayom Le'Ola. So again, if you want to say, oh, Aaron can come anytime, like the Kli Chemda, right? And this is just his matir, has nothing to do with Yom Kippur. Even then, probably it's a din of the Gavra Kohen Gadol, but I didn't buy that so much. Right, so what I'm saying is it might be a matir for the Kohen Gadol to be nechnas lifnai v'lifnim, but that's not unrelated to Yom Kippur. And it might be a din in the Hechsher Agabra, but if it's the day of the Kohen Gadol and the vicariousness of the Avoda isn't a coincidence and just the Shlichos, but it's a din, it's a kiyum that it should be done all day Shlichos Shel HaKohen Gadol, because of who he is and what he represents, namely that it's a merging of that Hechsher and his persona and the Kiyumim of the day in both directions. So then it's not a separate din and a narrow din. On the contrary, it kind of catches or captures the Kedushas Hayom in a very incredible, aspirational way. So Bezos Yava Aron Alakodesh, you know, colon, right? What's it going to be? Because Al Yavo B'Kalesa Alakodesh, you know, Ki Be'anan E'ra'el HaKaporis. And the answer is Bepar, you know, Ben Bakar L'Chatas, Ayol La'Ola. The inclusion of the Ayol La'Ola in one respect is even more striking. Right. And again, you could say there are two dinim. We'll see in a moment that according to the Ritva and Pashas of the Gemara, there might be two dinim. There are chiluke dinim between the two. You could say one of them is, you know, a matir of Knisa Lifnai B'Lifnim. Maybe the other is a Hechsher Agavra, or just a personal Korban Agavra. You could say one is more integrated into the Avoda, the other is more personal. There are different ways to say it, but I suspect that despite the differences, you know, this first pasuk that we encounter, Bepar Bebakar L'Katas V'Aya La'Ola, even though one is Lefnim and one is Bechutz, one is part of the, you know, Avoda V'Bigdei Lavan, and the other is V'Bigdei Zav and part of the, you know, integrated into the Musafin, I suspect that this is very crucial. So then you have, you know, a couple of sukkim about the B'Gdei Lavan. Yeah.
I also just, one of the Bala Tura mentions Avim Yitzchak Yaakov, Bakar Ben Bakar.
Yeah.
No, just that, meaning you could be Machlis because you have these four, the four or five.
Skutz Avos.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because.
But, yeah.
I personal, like, national representation.
Okay. Right. I'm not.
Okay, yeah.
Could be. It works, but I don't know if it proves anything, but, right. Okay. Then you have Pasukei Umeadas Bnei Yisrael, which again you could say, oh, this is the real beginning of the Avoda. The other is just the Hechsher Agavra or the Shlichus of the Kohen Gadol. Obviously, I'm not saying that. So the way I'm reading it is, you know, there are two elements in this, or more than two, but two of the important dimensions of the Avoda. One is the personal, one of the Kohen Gadol, which itself is both personal and, by virtue of it being. That's what I'm trying to say. Personal is a centerpiece of the Avoda. And then, Me'es Adas B'nei Yisrael, right, as opposed to the Kohen Gadol and even Shevet Kahuna, although the extent of the Shevet Kahuna is questionable, is debated, in other words. Yikach Shnei Se'irei Izim L'Chatas V'Aya L'Chad Le'Ola. But the parallel, again, so the parallel is the contrast and this is the real stuff, or more likely to me, you know, you have the personal Kohen Gadol Par V'Ayel, right? And then you have Klal Yisrael, Shnei Se'irim. We all agree, I think, another big theme, that the Shnei Se'irim and their opposite extreme destinies, and the fact that, again, we're not doing the Shnei Se'irim right now, although I like it very much. Shnei Se'irim Izim L'Chatas, that's Itamar's Bar Mitzvah Drasha, that. The diuk is that they're both chatas. In my view on the Shnei Se'irim is that it's also dialectical, meaning there are two dinim. They're a unit, and of course they're opposites. And because they're opposites, the yin and the yang, they're a unit. Right? So in a way the same thing is going on, but in a different way, of course, with the power and the ayil and the two Se'irim of Klal Yisrael, I mean the personal and the collective, but of course the same thing, you know, the Lefnai B'Lefnim and the La'Zazel, you know, B'Kamosam, Ki'echad, you know, B'Kamosam, B'Kniyasam, B'Mare, only the Goral separates them. So it's one Kiyum Chatas, you know, but of course only one's really going to be before L'Chatas, right? They're two and they're one. And there's a lot of evidence for that. Again, that's a different shir. Vayel echad la'ola. And then comes the hikrav aron as hapara chatas ha'shalo v'chiper bado bad beiso. Then v'lokach ha'shnei ha'se'irim v'emir ha'san lefnei ha'shem pesachol. You see the, right? It's one practically. It's just incredible, really. The Nasan Aaron al Shnei Asim Goral. Oh, you have the Gorals? Okay. Pasuk Zayin to Pasuk Yud. Then Pasuk in Aleph, you have the Hakrava and the Shkita of the Par Asher Lo. This is Pasuk in Aleph. V'hikriv Aaron as a Par HaChatos Asher Lo. V'chiper Bado Bad Beisel the second time. The Shachat, we talked about that already, as Par HaChatos Asher Lo. Right? His Shkita, whether it's, you know, this is Aaron, it's Bailim, it's any Bailim, it's him as Bailim, specifically, which is my suggestion, or part of the Avoda. Then you have Malachak Malo Achta Gachamachta Gakaleish, right? Another critical of Nasan Tzak, you have the whole Ketorah story, Lifnai Velifnim. And then again, Pasuk Gedalid, you're back to the Par. The Lokach Midama Par, Vizab Etzba Pnea Kaporas, Kemal Pnea Kaporas. Yaz Zayin Sheva Pa'amim Min Adam Be'etzba'o. You have the Hazos and the Dama Par, right? But then the Yang V'Shachata Sira Chatos Asher La'am Maybe as Damo Libeis LaParoka. It's the same thing. V'Asa as Damo Kasher Asa LaDama Par. He's Ala Kaporas V'Lifnei HaKaporas. So again, it could be the Torah's shorthand, you know, and it's just a coincidence, or maybe Aaron had to do it, and then you know he could do it for everyone else. Maybe it was, you know, but it's not practice, you know. And the idea of asaz damo kasher asal adama par gives a certain prominence, not just because it was first, but it sounds like, you know, the Klal Yisrael's korban, the korban tzibur, is kind of mimicking or imitating, you know, the personal korban of and the kuhuna korban of Aaron. Just an amazing thing. Okay, v'chiper ala kodesh, v'tumos b'nei Yisrael v'pisheyem, v'kol chatosam, v'chein yaseh lo'ol mo'ed, v'shokhein t'tam v'tok t'masam, v'chol adam lo'yeh bo'ol mo'ed, v'bo'ol l'chaper b'kodesh ad tseso, v'chiper ba'do, ba'ad be'so, ba'ad kol kahal Yisrael. You have the combination, right, of the kapara of Aaron, b'nei Aaron, right, ishto, b'na, ishto, kol ha'kohanim, and kol kahal Yisrael. Right? Then you have Pasuk Yud, that was Pasuk Yud Zayin, correct? Then in Pasuk Yud Ches, you have the Ir of Adam. V'yotzel mizbeach ha'shel v'nei Hashem, v'chiper alav, v'lakach midam ha'par u'midam ha'sa'ir, right, in the same part of the drop, implying their Ir of, not lakach midam ha'par, it's not, you know, then u'midam, I mean, it is a little bit, it's, you know, ma'pach pashto zakev katan, but it's all one unit, right? So it's v'lakach midama par umidama sa'ir v'nosan al kardos umizbeach samim, and that's the Ir of Adam. That's an amazing phenomenon, right? And then on pasuk you skip a little bit, v'chila v'chaper, and so on and so forth. You have the vidui on the sirim nishtaleach and all of that. And then in pasuk chav dalid you have v'rachatzis b'sor b'mayim b'makom kadosh l'shav v'vashis b'gadav yatzav asas olasov v'olas ha'am. Now you have the Elo ve'El Ha'am combined, the Chiper Ba'ado u'Ba'ad Ha'am. So it's just fascinating how just the psukim themselves are integrating. Like, well, what is this? It's all Klal Yisrael. Right? The most important Kapara Navoda of the year. And he's first. Again, maybe that's part of the Hechsher. But it sounds like it's more than first. Right? So that's the Elo ve'El Ha'am. So, and then of course you have Pasuk Chav Zayin and Chav Ches, Sreifas, right? Ve'es parachatas of ve'es se'irachatas, asher huvaz damam lekaper bakodesh, again combined, not irvu, but both of them as a unit. You have them separately, right? Ace ve'es, right? But it's huvaz damam, right? Lekaper bakodesh, yotzil mechutz amachne v'sarfu ve'esh. Es orosam es besaram, es pirsham. In other words, they were nichnas, they're rule breaking, you know, chatos pnimios, not the only ones, but practically the only ones. Saref osam, as a unit, yechabes begadav, rachatos baravim, achken yavo el hamachane. And then you have pretty much, that's the end of the avoda. Then you have the Yom HaTzom, and then you have the Shvisas Asar, HaEzrach, HaGerb, Gor, B'Sochachem, Kiva zomazei chaper lechem tar eschem mikol chatoseichem fnei Hashem tetaru shabbos shabbosoni lechem v'chiper akornish yim shachol. So now you get away from Aaron and Cohen. Vashoyim aleis yadot lechem tachas aviv. Right, v'lavash is big day abad, big day akodesh. V'chiper is mikdash akodesh. This ol moed. V'yisozos lechem v'chukas olam v'chaper bnei yisrael mikol chatosam achas bashana. Again, achas bashana, talked about in the past. Appears three times in the Torah here, and once and twice in Parshas Tetzaveh, regarding the Mizbeach Hazav, but the, and also the place where this Iruv Adam takes place. That also I should add to this mix, because that's Achas Bashana, Mizbeach Vayas Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. Okay, Chayon Amarna. Okay, so I just want to point out that the psukim are very, I think, suggestive. We also noted already that the Rambam, in the beginning of Parashas Yom Kippurim, A, begins with, we talked about that, the Tzmidim, Musafim, etc. But when it comes to putting together the various korbanos, again, the power and the aisle are very prominent. And they're mentioned in different ways. Together sometimes, with almost an afterthought. I definitely have to leave some because I have a wedding. Make sure, why don't I check the time for a second? Okay. The Od Makrivim Yesar Musav Zeh Par Ben Bakar Lechatas. Who Nisraf, the Ayel Leola, who Shneyan Michel Cohen Gadol. I just think it's an interesting. No kasha. Nothing that needs a terrace. But again, as we discussed, the order is opposite of what you think. Od Makriv and Yasra Musa, fine. But it's the first thing mentioned of the Avodas Hayom, and that's also sequentially true, of course, is Par Ben Bakar Lechatas, the Who Nisraf. The Ayah Le'olah. Now, the Ayah Le'olah is mentioned in the Psukim, right in the beginning, the Zosyova Aaron and Lakodesh, the Par Uba Ayah. But in terms of the sequence, it's much later, right? And then the addition, Ushneim Michel Kohen Gadol. Now, I think that the Shneim Michel Kohen Gadol is, again, a double edged. It could be it's one or the other, or I think both. You know, the one end, it's like a parenthesis, like an after point. Meaning, these are the. Just like this Tmidim. And Musafim, right, the protocol of the Avoda includes the Par V'ayil. And by the way, they belong to, they're the Bailus of, they're the particular Karbonos of the Kohen Gadol. But that doesn't in any way detract from the role that they play, the first things that are being mentioned, actually, beyond the Tmidim and Musafim, right? At the same time, Behu, Ushneim, Michel Kohen Gadol, is also a bit of a rallying cry, meaning it's important to know that they're Michel Kohen Gadol. Meaning, for me, part of the Kiyum here is the convergence of the personal Karbanos. It's a day of the Kohen Gadol. You know, the idea of personal is both more, again, I'm not trying to be complicated, I just think it's really true. The personal part is more prominent, but also misleading. Because the whole point is that the persona of the Kohen Gadol belongs to Klal Yisrael. Right? And therefore it's both more personal and more tzibur as personal. The Ayel Abav Mishal Tzibur, Homer Parshas Achrei Mos, that the rest. And then you have the Od Mevi Mishal Tzibur, right? Shnei Sirezim. Me'ei sadas b'nei Yisrael. It's like a pattern of the psukim in a way, right? Echad karev chatas v'hu nisraf hashem yisir mishalayach. And then you have the nimtzus, right? So you have shnei tmidim, par, shnei elim. It's all integrated. The tmidim are tzibur, right? Par, shnei elim, one, shiva kvasim kulan olos, shnei seirim chatas, echad nasa b'chutz, Nechaler, Sheni Nasi Bifnim, Nisra, and Par Kohen Gadol Lechatas, the Hu Nisra. Like, in the second version, or in the Nimtzuz, the Par Kohen Gadol is the most, it's the last one mentioned. Right? And with the addition of Behu Nisrath. The aisle's more integrated. So I just think it's all very curious. At minimum curious, probably much more than that. Oh. So let me just check 1 second. Give me 1 second. Oh. I have this wedding. Anybody else going to the wedding? No? I'm not sure if the wedding is at 3 or at 4. Can you just give me 1 second to check?
Yeah.
For now. I'll be right back in 1 second.
If I can, you can stay. I'll continue.
Hey, what are you doing? You gonna come? You gonna come or no? What?
Yeah.
Would you Uber or no? You can't step into the bus. Quick Uber to the bus.
Sure, you want to pause the record?
What? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah? Hey, quick Uber to the bus, huh?
It's the bus.
How do you...
What?
Where's the bus?
The bus is at...
Whoa.
The bus is what?
So, yeah. So let's just go... I just want to go identify what the main sugyas are. And then I guess another time we'll hopefully have the opportunity to, to go into a little more detail. Yeah. Okay, so let's begin with the Gemara here. Also very interesting Michaskinos I'm not going to get to, but just to highlight the unique status of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur that you should be aware of, some of which we discussed, about the Minui, Tira, and Kinuch of the Kohen Gadol. Okay, but then we'll leave them for another time. Kohen Gadol Cholol, Baruch Hashem Chilo, whether that is different on Yom Kippur than everything else. So just things to think about or to just say a lot of different issues and connections. Okay, so let's just go quickly through some of the Shacharit Mitarius. Everybody went through this, did it?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So the Mishnah says at Mafreshim, I just want to, I'll just highlight what the, I think the cases, the issues are. The Mishnah says Mafreshim, Shivat Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur, Mafreshim Kohen Gadol Bepeso. Right? Oh, we're back on? Yeah?
This is Joe.
Oh, okay. So, but we're taping, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says on Vav Amud Aleph, right, Lama Mafreshim. A few minutes on this thing. Right? Lama. What's the purpose of the Afrasha? The Gemara says, Lama Afrishin kin kamrina. Ilu Rabbi Yochanan kin yisalei kamreshin lakish di yisalei. Says the Gemara, right? Shema timatze ishto safek nida v'yavo aleha. Says the Gemara, ata berishi yaskina. El shema yavo al ishto v'timatze safek nida. That's the problem. Okay, so that's the Gemara. Then the Gemara says, on Bavmud Beis, that's the background only. Then the Gemara says, on Bavmud Beis, well, why are you worried? Acha tama frisha mitumas beiso, ha frishehu mitumas hameis. Right, why aren't you worried about tumas meis? Why don't you restrict the traffic or the flow to visit the Kohen Gadol, right, during the Shivas Yamim as well? Because maybe somebody, Nebuch will... we'll have some sort of mortality episode, and he'll end up being Tamei Meis. Okay. So, to answer that question, the Gemara gives two answers. One is, Tumas HaMeis Utrupet Tzibur, right? It's Rava. And Ravina said, Afiu Tema Tumas HaMeis Tchuyah Betzibur, Tumas HaMeis Lo Shchicha. Tumas Beso, Shchicha. Okay. So, this is the first area to look at. And that is Rashi Divar Maskol Hutra. Again, I'm not going to go into all details. But it sounds like Tumah Hutra B'tzibur is being applied to the avodah, to the avodos of Yom Kippur. Now, included in the avodos of Yom Kippur are also the personal karbonos of the Kohen Gadol. Is that tzibur? So the Rashi explains, "Kidav siv ish nidchav ein tzibur nidachim." And then he adds, "Yom Kippurim kule karbon tzibur, yaf karbon shelo doches atuma, charizmano kabua the karbono tolui bo." What the words the karbono tolui bo are interesting. Charizmano kabua could be referenced to the Gemara later on. This is a big issue. I mean, do we really does tuma hutra and tuya and tzibur? This is an issue that the Gemara is going to discuss later on. This again, Tamura. Does it really depend on Korban Tzibur versus Yachid? Or does it depend really on Zmano Kavua? Okay? There seems to be mixed evidence in the Shas about that question. In my opinion, some Rishonim, including the Rambam, you know, also seem to have like a certain ambivalence about it, where they think that really these dinim are kind of connected. It isn't so simple, one or the other. Anyways, at this point, certainly the Gemara seems to think, that Tumah Hutra B'tzibur depends on Tzibur, and Rashi is addressing this, instead of saying being Tomar V'yei Shlomar, is basically saying, well, what about the personal karbonos of the Kohen Gadol? Aren't you worried about that? And the answer is, right, Af Korban Shalo, Doche Esatuma. Sha'arei Zmano Kavua. I don't think he means to the exclusion. I mean, it's Zmano Kavua, therefore, at this point, I think he means, and therefore it's a Korban Tzibur. Right? What makes it kavua maybe is the fact that it's a carbon tzibur. The carbono tolui bo. Okay? So, meaning what? I mean, if he's tame, then you won't be able to proceed with his carbon, and therefore Tumah Hutra B'tzibur applies here as well. So that implies very strongly that there is some sort of a... Again, what are we talking about? Par, the aisle? Presumably both. Right? Because otherwise you should worry about the aisle. Sounds like both. The Ritva, here, on the par, says two very important things. One is, Dosomeres Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, Pirsh Rashi, Ubi Yom HaKippurim, Kulei Karban Tzibur. Didn't say that exactly. But this Ritva's expanding Rashi, or he had a different Rashi. Then he adds, V'af Korban Shalo Doches. I'm sorry, it does say that, doesn't it? Oh, no, it didn't say exactly that. But okay. Oh, yeah, he does say it, sorry. That's the first part. Right, then he adds, V'af Korban Shalo Doches Atoma, Charizmano Kavua, the Korban Tzibur Talibo, the Kasha Lekaman Arminan, the Elo Shalar, and Afagab the Kviel Ezman, Kivin the Yachid, who Madrina Masal Sotah. We'll get this in a second. It says V'yeshlomar Tahasam Shalom Lasosah B'tumah Mamish. Avlin Dilo Nitrach Lemevet Haprasha Din Korban Tzibur Yeshlo. This question, the question of Ayel. This is the Ritva saying that Legabe, the lack of a need for Haprasha, Legabe that it has the status of Korban Tzibur. And he adds, "Betosis pirush, pirshu avagav di elo korban yachid, bishum elo bilvad lo rotzo lafrisho, the paro korban tzibur chashuv kirov avodos atluyos the korban asayir shel tzibur tolui bo." Now that's a very interesting, you know. Again, the first view of the Ritva is that even the ayil is somewhat a korban tzibur. The second one is to be the chalik between the par and the ayil. It seems that way from a couple of Gemaras. Also makes a lot of sense. But also the formulation here, the paro korban tzibur chashuv ki rov avodos hatliyos the korban asar shel tzibur toli bo, that can be understood, I think, in three different ways. Meaning, you could say that he means it technically. Right? In other words, l'maisa, you can't do the other karbanos. Kohen Gadol maybe these are Karbanos Yachid, right? But they're a linchpin for him doing the Karbanos Tzibur. So maybe the din of Tumah Hutra B'tzibur or Dvuya B'tzibur applies anyway because it's this linchpin factor. Moreover, they're patterned after those karbanos. Right? Well, let's leave it at that. That's one possibility. The other possibility is something in between. Maybe what he means is even the par, you know, is kind of dialectically, you know, a korban yachid and a korban tzibur. Legabe kirov avodos atlios, the korban asarsh, shel tzibur talibo, both practically and especially as a model, legabe that, it's a korban tzibur. And legabe the fact, but it still retains some element of being a korban yachid. Maybe it's a middle din. Or does he mean that Kirova Vodos Atlios Bekarban Asar Shal Tzibur, he's explaining why even though he has to be the Bailim and the owner, maybe he's explaining why it's totally a Karban Tzibur. Meaning what he's really saying is like the bigger idea, which is why is this Karban and the Psukim always Kodem getting equal or maybe even in some cases more press, right? The Torah is defining, you know, the hazaos and the knisa of the sire based on the par. If you hold like Rabbi Kineger, you know that the iruv is even the ma'akev. So in many respects, it really is totally bo. Not therefore lemaisa nebuch, even though it's a karban yachid, we apply the din of kutum and zibor, and not even well legabe this legabe that. You know, two dinim or a mixas din, but this is the way of explaining that even though you might think otherwise, this is really a korban tzibur. Again, if there is the ambivalence, I would add, ambivalence in a middle status, or the ambivalence of what I'm saying, which is it's both, but that's part of its key. It's the yom of the Kohen Gadol. Therefore, everything of the personal is tzibur, even though it's tzibur because it's personal, because that's what we're accentuating in this vicarious process. Not really vicarious. Oh, okay, anyways. So Tosas here also, just very quickly, Dibur Masko Amra Pachlifa. And by the way, this same idea, find again in the Ritva later on. In Tomar Ha'ika, this is on Zion on base, Ha'ika Elo Shalaron, Shu Korban Yachid, Kedis Alau. It showed me that who korban anasa v'chutzu. Nika tzitzal mitzal. I'll explain what the context is later on. But legabe paro anasa v'pnim linyan azos ha'amrina la'el ha'u korban tzibur chashuk. This is clearer, where he's just distinguishing between the aisle, which is a korban yachid, and the paro, which is a korban tzibur. Again, maybe that's a way of breaking up the two parts of the dialectic. Either within each korban, or one with different emphases, you know, or by splitting up the par and the aisle itself. All I'm saying is there are elements of yachid to the par, and there are elements of tzibur to the aisle, and they're both conjoined and separate. Again, that's not my fault. And, you know, that's just what it is. I can't help. Anyways, Tosas Dibur Masal Amrav Tachlifa very quickly asks the question: Astira in a bai v'rav. So the first day is, yeah, it's not a stira. They're a baiva rava saying their own pshat, here they're saying, and they're speaking for others. Fine. The second pshat is very interesting. The second idea, towards the bottom of the Tosis, is as follows. Kiva the Hosalin and Pesach Airi, Ika Lameimar, Nei the Pesach, Kiva the Osabi Kinufia Chafish. Kik korban tzibur, the dochas haShabbos vesatuma, nikomachum kim delav ko Yisrael maisu chad Pesach v'shutves madrina natahori. Afila mandamar tuma heteri b'korban tzibur gomor abav v'shutves. Okay, mashma lekaman samach zayin omen aleph the elo shel Aaron afagav the zimna kviale. The dochi haShabbos vatuma kik korban tzibur mikomakom kibin the korban yachidu madrina na tahorin lekula alma. Very interesting. And then the bottom shmamino dishinu yidushanina nachabiyoma b'samoch elin be'elo shel Aaron afilu madamer heter the korban yachid kamo elo shel Aaron u pesach apagav the zimnu kavu alahem B'dochu Shabbos v'tumah modahu d'madrina natahar. Try to explain why it is that tumah seems to be hutra b'tzibor legamrei, and you're not seeing mahadrinan when it comes to classic full carbon tzibors, but when it comes to Pesach and Elo Shel Aaron, it seems like we're holding dechuya b'tzibor. We're still saying dechuya, by the way. I'm not saying that it's fame. So Tosa says Pesach and Elo Shel Aaron are somewhere in between. Now again, the Pesach side is not for now, but it's a fascinating question. That's a steers all over shots, right? Whether Korban Pesach is considered a Korban Tzibor, because again, it's brought individually by families or by minui, right? Celebrate some of celebrities. But it's also brought the kindle of pia, so it has some characteristics of a carbon tzibor and some of a carbon yachid. Again, there too, it's hard to know exactly what it is. Something in between. And we're comparing Elo Shel Aaron exactly to that. Right? Because it's not brought by or on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael exactly, is it? On the other hand, it's needed by, it's connected to the avoda of Kol Klal Yisrael. And even Aaron is bringing it as the representative, as an individual, as a representative of Kol HaKohanim. So we'll see. This idea, we have a few Rishonos and Rishonim, I've got to leave in 5 minutes, but Pesach, Parakatas Shel Aaron, and Elo Shel Aaron. And you might be mechalik in the balance there. And minchas chavitin, trying to show, are kind of in between status. This is And I think if they're not, that's not a coincidence. Again, Pesach for its own reason, right? And where the akrava is different than the shame karban, karban tzibor. But Elo and Paro Shel Aaron, for exactly, this is what I'm trying to demonstrate, essentially. If you look at Tosa Zayin and Aleph, it's a little bit different. Yom Masl Kivin the Yachid, well, let me mention the Gemara first. So the Gemara in Zayin and Aleph continues this discussion. Gemara says that Elim, they have a certain kasha from Raisa, Elim. Elim means Elo Shel Aaron. You know, we get to Elo Shel Aaron specifically as opposed to Par Henai. Da'at agav the Kvi'el Ezman, kimen di yachidu madrinan. It's kavu al Ezman, but it's only dechuya. That's because kavu al Ezman is what's dochet, but in order to be hutra, you need tzibor. Or even the Kavu Lozman here, it's not Kavu Lozman, Kavu Lozman is a way of saying it's partly Tzibor. Okay? Very unclear. Very unclear. So Tosis here, commenting on that, Kivid Yochidu Madrina, Hoche Badai Choshev Korban Tzibor, Litkos Shabbos, Litkos Atoma, well, the Shabbos is very important. Tosis, don't think it means Kipshuto that it's a Korban Yochid. It's a Korban Tzibor Legabe Dechias Tumah B'Shabbos. Apilu tuma de gabri miu, lo hutrabo, tuma le dechuya yi. The only thing is, it's dechuya, kivin diyachid kamaisile, something in between. Just like you said earlier. But he was calling it a korban tzibor, not even kikorban tzibor. Then he takes it all away by asking, temali hakula mikroi, napkid perkates of tzol, definitely another rishon of different answers to this question. And in psache maishna, vieshmehem shuhutrabem tuma, vieshmehem, where do you get this middle shita? Of you hold tumah hutra b'tzibor, but it's dechuya if it's kind of an in between status. He's a mimonav shach. You learn that from korban pesach, so it's either yes or no. Yeshlomo lemandam ar tumah heter hu bekulu hutra tumah daraisa elamid rabbanan gazra hu dava korban yachid de lahadru atahorin lemandam ar tumah dechuya sfilay de bekulu dechuya b'dar. Meaning, he taketh away of what he said before and what he said earlier in this piece. You have to look at the other Rishonim, see if they all say it this way, which not all of them do. But again, you see the struggle that is going on here. That part of it is very, very very clear. So if you turn to Zayin Amud Aleph, what we talked about, the Gemara calls it Karban Yachid. Okay, we talked about it. I mentioned the Ritva there also. We discussed that already. The Tosias Shanim on Zayin Amud Aleph, Dibra Maskel Tar. The Avagav Ravina Beperkot Zielo, the Dechias Tuma Tliya Bekviyazman, the Lobetzibra Beyachid. This is part of the light motif going on in the background of all this. Right? Yikomokom Kishain Acheres Elhi Omrim Avapikev. Ushtok Titzmeratza. Ube Elo Shal Aron, the Besamok Avagav Shekavaluazman, Mikomokom Adure Madrinan, Atahar Dishel Yachidi. Right? Tosias Shanim here is much more comfortable. Not as a carbon seaboard, but right, the whole thing is only draw but. But then, literally taking this line in the Gemara, literally that this is a carbon yachid. Okay. Then on Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara has, I assume people gone through the Gemaras, right? So on Zayin Amud Beis, say we're going to try to do the first like 10 lines. The Gemara talks about tzitz and ritzui tzitz. If you hold that ritzui tzitz only applies when the tzitz is al mitzcho, how does that work in big day lava? Oh. Says the Gemara, Hanach l'kohen gadol b'yom kippurim shetumo hutrelo b'tzibur. Right? Good. But that is certainly going to be a problem. What do you say about the... Again, ayil is not so much of an issue, right? Unless you want to say that, but it doesn't have to refer to ayil, because ayil is the big day zav. But the par is the big day lavan. So Rashi says, shekulo korban tzibur, ve'in tzarech l'ritzu yetzitz. Okay? And Tosas likewise, dibur maskel mechlal, on the bottom, it says Lo Yadana my Rayam Iser of Shum Yom Kippurim, because you don't have any choice here. Ain't time to keep the Efshal Leos Al Mitzvah the Ritzuye Doch Yatuma keep the Korban Tziburhu. Midit Hava Tumas Gavra the Lomaratzi Tzitzalam. But if you don't assume that it's Korban Tzibur, the Gamri, maybe this isn't such a strong question. Anyways, again, this is another. But this is about the par, probably not about, even though the Gemara didn't say it, this is a problem for the par. On Chesam and Aleph, you have a discussion of the Hazaos and whether or not they need to be Bizmanim or not, and the Gemara wants to connect it to the question of Hutra and Dechuya, that's a Shat Matari in Chesam and Aleph. So Tosas Dibur Maskel E, Hazahavim, Yitemeli, Lema di Yitzchuk Hazom Shum Elo Shel Aron, Akore Biyoma Kippurin, Bekimi di Yochidu Madrina Na Tahara. Right, like the Tosis Shonim said in Zayin Amud Aleph, it's a carbon yachid. The Shomar Dahani Mili Eched Nitma Biyado Tuma Vadois Kedilael Abachashash Bialma Kehacha Vade Laman Demekav Omer Heter Hu Bitzibor Lo Havim Bitzrichi Midi Afilu Bidi Yachid Kegon Elo Shal Aron Kibud Chashiv Kik Carbon Tzibor Litchol Shabbos Vetuma. What do you mean? If it's all Bidin Kavur Lozman. Why does he say Chashub Kik Karban Tzibur? Again, it sounds like there's a certain level of ambivalence here, even about Elo Shel Aron, what its real status is. Tosas Yishanim, again, Lishitaso, I think, says no, the din of Kavua Lozman is the only thing you have to worry about. Tosas Yishanim Dibur Masa V'Kizbra, that's the one I gave you. Yeshomar, the malish al azayim and the lasis mishul korban yachid. Alzei hikshali. Kamosh asu malah prisha bishvil ayil shel aron. Gam malah hazah. Vod hecha batzida b'miluim shloya prisha bishvil ayil shel aron. So the answer is, if benira li, kinamash melekaman, Dinchias tuma toli b'kiyuzman below b'tzibur b'yachid, b'kimin b'raisa tuma hutra, kamo kavazman kagon elo ein chakamim lasas malu prisha b'tumas face. That's how Tosa said. He's bringing the Gemara later on, assuming everything depends on Kviyas Man alone. He's here taking the view that she taught so before, that Halo is Yachid Legamri. Again, if it's Yachid Legamri, then all the other questions are, it's Par and Ayal. One is Tzibur, one is Yachid. There's room for a Korban Yachid in this whole process. Right? In other words, I'm having my cake and eating. Whatever you say, I think it's demonstrating this idea. Unless you say Hechsher and Bialma, it doesn't sound that way. Okay. Then you have, I'm really not going to be able to do this, the even more intriguing sugya later on Mem Tes Omid Beis. Somebody went through that also? Yeah? Okay, good. Excellent. So Gemara Mem Tes Omid Beis discusses the question of whether you can be nichnas, whether if the Kohen Gadol dies and another takes his place, can you be nichnas b'damo shel par? Partly an objective question, whether you still call it par, is represented by its da. So the Gemara Nuno Ben Aleph raises the question. The Gemara says, The Gemara says, "V'tepeklei dechatas shemesu baleohi." Forget about all this. What the definition of par is, whether it's included in the da. That's a fascinating question. But forget about all that. Why not just say it's chatas shemesu baleohi? Because the Kohen Gadol died. It's his chatas. Chata shemesa baleo, as lemisa as well. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rabin Baravada, v'rava, right? Chata tziburi, v'lo mesa, lo lemisa as well. The Tan, Amalei Rameir, hello, par yom ha-kipur v'chavite, kohen gadol, Pesach, the korban yachidu, v'dokas ha-shabbos v'satuma. This is where it gets, clearer. These three, Pesach, par yom ha-kipur, it's par, not the ayo, Par Yom HaKippurim and Chavite Kohen Gadol. What that seems like is a machlokas Tanoim. That some characterize them as Korban Yachid and the Doka Shabbos is Satuma because of Kavu Olozman. La Mechal De'ikel Man Damar De Tzibur. Others think that these are Korbanos Tzibur. Right? Then the Gemara says maybe not. That's what the Gemara is trying to go back and forth. Ela, the Tanakama Kamahada Deshame De Kamar. Korban Sibor, Dochas, Hashabbat Sassatuma, but Korban Yachid, Eina Docha, Amelo Reb Meir, Korban Yachid, Klalahu, Amelo Par Yom Kippur, Vachavite Kohen Gadol, Pasach, the Korban Yachid, the Docha Nasashabbat. That's what he said to him. Amelo Reb Yaakov, Korban Sibor, Klalahu, this Par Helen Dabar, etc. Helen Kotai Kolob Yadach, Kozmano, Kavua, Docha Shabbat Sassatuma, to the Yachid, Koshin is Mana Kavua, Eina Docha Dubatim. If that was Muskam, then that would settle a lot of these questions. But not so Muskam. Not in the Rambam and not in others. Okay. Then the Gemara is Lo Tema Shein Chatas Tzibur Mesa Le'ema In Chatas Shutfen Mesa. And the Gemara says May Naf Gemina Dolamaisi Kohan In Par Behora. The Kitzur, again, I don't have the time right now. On this Gemara, there seem to be three views whether the Par HaChatas is a Korban Tzibur, is a Korban Yachid, or is a Korban Shuftin? That seems to be three views in the Gemara here that the Gemara continues to analyze. And if you look at the Rishonim, they say different things. Right, Rashi here, for example, Chatas Tziborhi, I really have to go. Hoel va'ola va'al, there are different girsos here. Hoel va'ola va'al echa va'koanim ba. That made it sit a Korban Tzibor, originally not Korban Shuftin. There's a whole discussion in the Rishonim, Tosfos Shanim and others, is what makes this Korban Shuftim, is there a difference in these issues? Maybe Korban Tzibor can never die, even if every member of the Tzibor dies, because there's a collective called the Tzibor. Is there a collective called Shevet Kahuna? That's a discussion in Tosfos Shanim. A generally interesting question, but very relevant to us here too, because what we're really trying to say is, what is this Korban? What is this Korban? So it's also fascinating, the gears. Hova olav ve'al echav ha-kohenim ba'etz ha-korban tzibur. Then the parenthesis is, ve'al kol kahal Yisrael, de'sivich hiper ba'ado ba'ad be'so, and then parenthesis, u'ba'ad kol kahal Yisrael. And others say, no, this is a wrong gears, because it's talking about two different korbanos. But in a way, I'm not sure it's a totally wrong gears, right? Because these korbanos are integrated, and they're all part of a single process. right? Again, when the Gemara says, oh, if Kata Shutfin, you have interesting Tosas. Tosas says, Hodelo Kamar Dinach Gemina La Aduri Atahorin, Di Korban Sibor U Lomadrinan, Laman Tamar Tumabutra. Going back to Tosas' pet peeve, Besan, Bubman Basin, Zionam and Aleph, Vi Shutfin Madrinan, Kinamasha Parakama, the Dafka Betsibor Heter, Rabbi the Hachas, Firulay Hassan Tumahetra Betsibor, right? Yeshlomar Mishundra Abshimin Kamarhacha Ein Chatas Tzibur Beisa. With the day on Afkamino in the Tumah the Sfirah the Nachanani basically Tumah Tchuy Betzibur. But the truth is that it's again not such a davar pashut that that this would be the case. Right? What is the status of this carb? The Tosfos Shanim here B'li Tameich B'Tomer Likshilei Nechavite Koin Gadol De'Enam Shel Tzibur. Take the example of Chavite Kohen Gadol. They're totally a korban yachid, right? After all, we're a tuta echav kohanim. Elke elo shel Aaron. Tosis is a shanim is acknowledging what implicit in the Gemara. And again, we're talking about the parachatos here. You know, but the ayal also is korban yachid. That again, Tosis shanim l'shitaso completely. We saw before even ayal. Elo Shel Aaron isn't, and again, I want to make my deal. Par Yom Kippurim in some of these Gemaras, or Par Aaron, and Elo Shel, I'm sorry, Elo Shel Aaron and Par Yom Kippurim. Anyways, the Chashvin Lakom Shmaitim Korban Yachin, Yeshomar Kivin Tishkrabin Midchas Tzibor, Korale Korban Tzibor. The Ode, Amrina, the Koin Gadol Shemei, Sulom Bino Acher Takto, Shemavin Chavita, Mishal Tzibor. Meaning the other thing that the Kohen has to do, aside from presiding Yom Kippur, is the Minchas Chavita. It's a little snapshot. There are other Rishonim on this as well, this idea. That's a personal korban? Or it's a personal korban, the Torah, the persona of the Kohen Gadol, right? Connecting Chavite Kohen Gadol and either Elo or Paro. And Yom Kippur is an amazing idea. We're saying, well, it's brought with the Musaf, it's brought with the other Karbanos, Tzibor. And if there's no Kohen Gadol, then the Tzibor brings the Minchas Chavitin. I'll add, the Minchas Chavitin, not for now, right, has its parallel, every Kohen brings a Minchas Chavitin. That's a fascinating question. Right? Is the Minchas Chinuch and Minchas Chavitin the same, basically? In other words, every day the Kohen Gadol is being initiated, like with the freshness and the idealism of a new Kohen? Or the Kohen Hedjot, when he brings a Minchas Chinuch, he's like Kohen Gadol for a day? Or no, it's just the same korban, it's an initiating. You know, it happens to be the same korban. The Pesukim itself, they're very suggestive. You can't tell what both dinim are derived, Minchas Chinuch and Minchas Chavitin. My point is, individual initiation korbanos, or individual stature, status korbanos, but of course that have to do with the Keser Kahuna, which is a Keser, and also part of Klal Yisrael. So finally, again, I can't, I have to look at the Tosfos here, we're also Benav Kamina, Chatas Tzibor, Vela Mesa, right, also Tosis there, Tosis Shonim here, Ma'inav Kamina, yeah, that's what he talks about again. Tzibor, also the continuation of Nunam and Beis, Tosis Shonim, about whether, you know, a Tzibor that everybody dies off as opposed to Shutfim, is it really Shutfis or Kahuna? So just two other Gemaras very quickly, but this will end. So the Gemara says, Adibrei Ha'omer, Par Yom Kippur, and Korban Yachid, Osa Tmura, O Ein Osa Tmura. Because there's no Tmura in a Korban Tzibur or a Korban Shutfim. Is there Tmura for a Korban, for the Par? La Mechal Dike Laman Damar the Tzibur? La Mechal Dike Laman Damar the Shutfim. Then the Gemara has another, that's one discussion. Tosa says, oh, does this depend on Mikiva or Mikufya? That's the next Gemara. The Gemara says, Pshita, the Basar Miskaper Ozlinan, So Tosus asks the question. Typically, when you know when you have yorshim there, miskaper mikufya, we consider that a shuftas. We hear if there's a mikiva, there's no. So it says, yeah, if there's a mikiva and a mikufya, the korban belongs to the mikiva. If there are only two mikufyas, it's a shuftas. But I think that's Tosa's solution. You have to look at the other Rishonim. It also might say that this whole mikifa mikufya, the whole kohanim thing, it's not like yorshim, exactly. Again, he is bringing this korban b'toras kohen gadol and the spillover of that on echav kohanim. It's just gonna change the equation. That's part of the question, whether it's mikifa mikufya mikiva. But it also just may be in terms of whether there's Shutfas is shayach to that. Then Tosa says, "Ubeso nami mikufya mechapri." What about the beso and ishto? The ilav hochi havel shutfin, the enos and tmura. Then Tosa has another question. What about the status of the kohen gadol who would walk in his place? I mean, again, I don't think that the normal categories of mikiva, mikufya, etc., are necessarily applied here. These are very unusual karbanos. Right? And again, he has to be kohen gadol nasui, but it's not a din in, you know, nebuch, you have to get the kapara of his wife in there. It's a kiyum in the kohen gadol. And the same thing is true with echav kohanim. That's why it's not the typical mikiva mikufya. Okay, then finally, again, I'm sorry I can't do Rishonim and the Rambams in particular, very important in all this, so I'll leave for another time. Then finally, the Gemara says, "V'tepukle da asher lo amrachmana mishalohu." Maybe in the end of the day, the par has to belong to the kohen gadol. It can't be brought mimamun atzibur, right? So doesn't that prove it? Yochal lo yavu mishal tzibur shein tzibur miskaprin av yavu mishal echav kohanim. Even that's no good. Shavu echav kohanim miskaprin bo. Right? Talmud lomar asher lo. So the Gemara says, "V'li tameich echav akornim ilav dekornu begaveheichem echaper lehu liman of shach." Right? Is it his or not? If it's only his, then why? How are they mechaper? Even mikufya. Ela shayni begazu daaron. Right? The afker rachmana gabe echav akorn. Right? Hacha gabe tmura nami shayni begazu daaron the afker rachmana gabe echav akorn. Then Tosas Yishanim asks, "How come we're worried about Amai Lo Miboilei Mesa? We're only worried about Tmura." Anyway, I want to leave this. The question is, what is this final din, and how do we understand Afkarei Rachmana? So some understand it very narrowly, meaning it's really a korban yachid of Aaron HaKohen, or practically, and Legabe Kapara, there's a hefker. To allow the kohanim acherim to be included in the kapara, or on the contrary, right? This is really that it's really a kohen for a kahuna and for Klal Yisrael, maybe even it's a korban tzibur, or at minimum a korban shutfas. But it has to be the bailus of the kohen gadol, because it isn't just the kohen gadol representing the kohanim; it's not the kohanim; it's the persona of the kohen gadol. That's why it has to be bibaluso. So how you understand this, you know, both in Tmura and the Hefker and the Kapara and the need for Bailus, as well as, Chatas HaTzibur, Chatas HaShutfin, Chatas HaYachid, all these questions that are discussed in the Gemara and then, you know, by extension discussed by the Rishonim, these are all a way of coming to grips with a very complex reality, and that is that the, you know, par and aisle of the kohen gadol are front and center and integrated, you know, in each in its own way and maybe with a different balance into the process of Odas Yom Kippurim. It's just unmistakable. And if we're being magdir, you know, how much shutfas, how much tzibur, how much yachid. But again, the evidence ends up being very mixed. You can see the Rishonim struggling with it along the way. There might be, again, you know, more of this and less of that, two dinim, but mostly it's because of this bigger reality. And that is that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, you know, is both defines the day and is defined by the day. And therefore he is not fully an individual, and he's not fully his role is neither captured by being, you know, a shliach or by being a yach. Consequently, you get expressions of both, and you get the subtle ambiguities of each, and sometimes a beria bifnei atzma, both in the par and in the yach. Okay. Anyways, we'll stop here. I'm really, really late. I just have to run. And I wish you all a good summer. As you can see, the topics are really, I think, you know, Yoma is an amazing limud, and there's so much more to do in terms of the general role of the Kohen Gadol and the avodos of Yom Kippur in each and every one of them. Obviously, it's tremendously rich and very inspirational. So, if you get a chance to continue the limud, that'll be great. Maybe we'll do more topics at some point. But I wish you all a good trip for those who are leaving, and a good summer for those who are staying. And
thank you very much.
Ot chazon l'moed. At least we did five, right?
Let's run. It's always more favorite than anything else.